Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
Puzzle.
4:02, welcome in a Tuesday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, online at kgymradio.com. Packed show for you today, highlighted by the fact that somebody's going to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We'll give that away tonight at about 6:25 after we hear from Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com. Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times also set to join us this evening. You'll hear Steve coming up tonight at 5:30. Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes meeting with the media today ahead of Middle Tennessee coming to town as a 24.5-point underdog Saturday morning. Kevin Kaduk, the lead editor for Yahoo Sports, with us at 4:30 today as well. Kevin, a noted fan of the victorious Chicago Bears from last night's Monday Night Football game. But first, it's very flattering to know that many of my colleagues in the Iowa media listen to the program, and I would be flattered by that, and then I realize that, quite frankly, there really is zero local competition, especially in this time slot, so it's sort of by default. But I'm sitting down for Kirk Ferentz's news conference today, and a member of the media, who shall remain nameless, turns to me and grins and says, "You're going to have to talk about the band again today."
I think I know who you're talking about.
And I said, I am going to have to talk about the band today because this is the story that just won't go away. And I think everybody would like for it to go away. And I think that this is going to be the end. I really do. I think today is the end of the news cycle with regard to this, unless there's some sort of smoking gun out there or ladder cam. I've seen the videos released by Iowa State again, and I've said this a number of times over the last couple days, and we have been on this like white on rice from the get-go. The only people acting as adults here seem to be the band members, and this is so drawn down tribal lines that it doesn't really do much good to try to convince people one way or the other on the issue, because you have Iowa fans gravitating toward taking the side of everything that Iowa says is the gospel, and Iowa State fans seem to be blaming everybody under the sun other than accepting culpability in this. You have now Iowa State fans saying that the band should have listened better. You've got people saying that the band director, Iowa's band director, which led the band out of the stadium, is actually at fault here, that they should be the ones that are getting in trouble. And you also have a comment today from Jamie Pollard, Iowa State's athletic director, that is basically the equivalent of saying Iowa was asking for it, which is an uncomfortable term for me to use, but there's no better way to describe how he was. Look, it's almost as if the athletic directors here, Gary Barta and Jamie Pollard, are in a race to make themselves look worse than the other athletic director.
I was very disappointed with the way that the new revelations today, or not revelations, but the way that Jamie Pollard went to what you like to call the whataboutisms. What good does this do?
It was a fine statement until he tacked on at the end, but Iowa needs to do the same.
Yeah, it was.
Nobody is capable of being an adult here.
Nope.
It's, you've got to throw a spitwad in Iowa's direction. Iowa has to throw a spitwad in Iowa State's direction. You will hear, by the way, at some point today, sooner rather than later, Gary Barta's comments with the media after Kirk Ferentz's news conference is over, including, it's not a confrontation, but there seems to be a lot of gray and blurred lines here, dating back to last Thursday when the Iowa City Press Citizen reported that Iowa was ending its investigation, because Gary Barta says, we never ended the investigation. And the reporter from the Iowa City Press Citizen was there today, and you'll hear their exchange coming up in just a little bit, because it reveals a lot of things about how the athletic department operates. And you will also hear Gary Barta using, and I love to borrow once again from the lexicon of Dan Le Batard, another human meat shield in this is Barbara Burke, mm-hmm. now the associate director of athletics who serves under him, who was hired almost immediately in the aftermath of the discrimination lawsuit against the University of Iowa. Well, she handles a lot of things for me. She shields things from me, and I shield things from Gary, from Bruce Harreld. He didn't come out and say that, but that seems to be the line of logic here. The text line, by the way, is available for you to tell us that you don't care about this. 319-366-1600, Hertine and Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. I passed by their windows earlier today, got to Iowa City a little bit before 1:15, had some time to kill, and spent it walking around downtown Iowa City, realizing that I am so far removed from my college days on that campus that it's not even pleasant to think about. And I looked around, and I used to enjoy spending time in Iowa City, and now I could not leave campus soon enough. It just made me feel really uncomfortable, because it made me feel really old. But I did walk past Hertine and Stocker and looked in the windows, and you can do that as well on your next visit to Iowa City. Again, the text line, 319-366-1600. You can also pick up the phone and give us a call. There is football to discuss. Iowa State travels to Baylor this weekend. Iowa hosts Middle Tennessee. And yet, it's hard not to be focused on these schools and these athletic directors and these grown adults trying to out elementary school playground one another.
Yeah, this is a full-blown national story now. Full-blown.
It starts today with Iowa State announcing that it's having a news conference featuring Jamie Pollard, Wendy Winterstein, which is the president of Iowa State University, and a tremendous name, by the way, Wendy Winterstein, and Michael Newton, who is the chief of police at Iowa State, so the campus police, their version of Chuck Green, even though I think Chuck's been retired for a really long time, and I'm once again showing my age here with that reference, but Chuck Green for a long time was head of the Iowa campus police. They have a news conference at 11 o'clock today, which coincides on the heels of, or before Matt Campbell spoke to the media, and they got their version of events out there, and so it was only natural that after Kirk Ferentz addressed the media in Iowa City at 1:15, which I would have lost a lot of money had there been a prop wager on this. Nobody asked Kirk Ferentz about whether or not he even knew anything was going on, and I would have thought for sure that somebody would have posed a question to him. That's there for the TV people to take, and even they didn't want to put the ball on the tee and give it a whack. But after things were over with Kirk, Gary Barta's in the back of the room, and he couldn't really avoid addressing the issue. And do we have that ready? Okay. So, again, I don't see the point in editing any of this, because the minute that you do, then you lose something in translation. So, by the way, this wasn't an official press conference, so I'm not violating any rules here by playing this as a large chunk, but Gary Barta talking with the assembled media. It's a good sized clip here. I'm not too worried about it, but in the middle of this, and this is what you need to have your antenna up for, is Gary Barta addressing whether or not there was an investigation, whether or not an investigation ever ended. And then you have the reporter from the Press Citizen who was there today, who's not a sports writer, but she apparently drew the short straw and had to write the story in the first place. And so she shows up today, and good for her for being there. And she looks right at Gary Barta and basically calls him out because he impugned her journalistic integrity. He sort of claims to have been misquoted here, and she jumps on him immediately. And so listen for it. If I recall correctly, it's about a third, if not halfway through here. But I believe we start with the incomparable Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register just cutting to the chase after some non-band-related questions that were thrown Gary's way, and we're off to the races. This is earlier today, probably, this is less than 3 hours ago in Iowa City.
Gary, can you walk us through your investigation into the band incident? What exactly that consisted of?
Well, we didn't really conduct an investigation. What we've been doing from day one and will continue to do is when our students brought forward concerns, we're listening to them, we're meeting with them, we're providing them options. And then, as you know, we contacted Iowa State and, it's still ongoing. We still don't, we have several incidents that are still open, and we're going to continue supporting the students that have brought them forward. In the meantime, as President Harold has said, as I've said, as Jamie has said, we're going to focus also on going forward to try to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Are you going to involve law enforcement at any point?
Law enforcement has been involved from day one. And to this moment, I'm not aware that anyone has filed a claim. So law enforcement was involved from day one.
Gary, can you clarify one thing? When you put out your initial release, you had already spoken to Iowa State, right? Because Jamie said you hadn't.
I spoke to Jamie Monday afternoon.
Before you put out your initial release?
Yeah, I think that was the time.
And then his response was that he knew nothing about that. So there's obviously a difference.
I'm not sure. What I did is as soon as we started to learn about it last Monday, and as soon as we started to learn about it, my first reaction is let's get to the band. Let's get and find out if there's been any students who have been injured. And if they have, let's be there to support them. That was my first reaction. And then after that, we started to follow up to say, now, where do we go from here? And I did reach out to Jamie after that.
What was the reason for the second statement saying that the investigation was closed then?
I actually didn't say that. What I said was, at this point, it's still difficult to ascertain all the details. In the meantime, we are going to start looking at future games. But I never said that there was an investigation that was closed.
Respectfully, the question I asked in that was, is there still an investigation from the athletic department into this? And the response was the details are difficult to verify, so we've elected to move forward.
Yeah, and as you know, that came through a third party. I didn't get a chance to speak with you directly, and so maybe some interpretation got lost, but at no point did I say that an investigation was closed, and it's still not closed. I still, every moment of every day, that's probably an overstatement. Every day we're checking in with these students who have been wronged. They were wronged. We had students at that game that were mistreated. To this point, we're still working with them. We've met with them. Our Office of Sexual Misconduct Response has met with them. They've been awarded the opportunity or afforded the opportunity to meet with law enforcement. We're still there to support them.
Do you believe they are victims of a crime, your students?
It's hard for me to say. I believe that they were wronged. I believe that we're going to continue to support them. At this point, there are still a lot of details that can't be verified.
Pollard said that today that the physical contact after the game was prompted or started by the band exiting through the wrong tunnel against the advice of Iowa State officials. Is that your understanding of the situation?
I've heard multiple descriptions of what happened. I still don't know exactly what happened. I know we have one band member who required medical treatment. That's what I know. I wasn't there, and so I'm not to judge how serious or significant it was. I'm there to support our students who say they were mistreated. I believe them, and we're just trying to help them get through that.
Do you think it's time to maybe not have the band go through the fans like it did?
I think you've heard both presidents have spoken, both presidents have talked about after the season. In order for us to successfully have this game and successfully have the band in attendance, we have to make sure they're safe. That's our number one priority. So at the president's invitation and direction, we'll get together and make sure that that can occur. And I'm confident that it can.
President Harold also, you know, mentioned that if stuff doesn't get resolved, there's a chance the series maybe goes away. What are your feelings on the series?
Well, I know he said it, I know he meant it, and I know what he meant by it, and that is he's concerned, I'm concerned, that the safety of the participants of the game has to be number one. I will say this. I think the vast majority of fans who attend the game enjoy it responsibly, celebrate it responsibly, but we do have to make sure that the people who participate in the game are safe. And so we're going to do that. I'm confident we can. And once we do that, I know he'll be comfortable continuing the game. But I know he meant what he said because he's upset and frustrated.
You said that a student met with the sexual assault center on campus? Is that
no, I didn't say that. What okay. I said was when we learned of several students who we had heard had been involved in mistreatment, we reached out to them first, the athletic department did, and we made sure, do you need any medical assistance? Do you need any emotional assistance? Do you need someone to talk to? And we actually met with the band and gave them information on different areas on campus to contact. We then passed that information on to the Office of Sexual Misconduct and asked them to follow up with those students. We are never told, you know, what transpires after that, but we did share that information with them.
Did you personally meet with the band members?
So far, Barbara Burke has been representing me in more than two meetings, and so I haven't met with them personally, no.
Are you planning to? Or?
At some point, yes.
Okay. Why the delay?
It wasn't a delay. Barbara Burke is the Deputy Director of Athletics. She represents me in many meetings, including this one. I was traveling partly during that period as well.
Why is it so difficult to get to the bottom of this? You said you're having trouble with your investigation. What were the roadblocks?
I have information from students who were mistreated, mm-hmm. and physically one of them actually had to seek medical attention. So I believe them. The challenge is it's a stadium full of people, and at this point we're trying to get to the bottom of it. Again, there have been other groups involved. This hasn't been, the athletic department doesn't do investigations, and so it's been people outside of athletics trying to follow up. What athletics has been doing is trying to support the students who have gone through this, provide them the resources so that they can get to the bottom of it.
And there's no security camera footage that you're aware of any of this?
Well, we don't have any. I haven't seen any.
Okay.
Just a couple more questions.
There seems to be a discussion point that because nobody has actually pressed charges or in Ames, that the event didn't happen. I mean, have you tried to tell the students to actually come forward and press charges?
So first of all, I believe our students that events did happen. I absolutely believe them. They've gone through a difficult time, and from day one we've just said we are here to support you. We'll provide you any support we can. Yesterday, President Harold, in his interview, said, if anybody has information, if anybody has video, if anybody has photographs, bring them forward so that they can be utilized. But until something concrete can be proven, we're just going to continue to support the young people who were mistreated.
And that is Gary Barta, earlier today in Iowa City. Again, you tell me how to edit that. I want everybody to hear in the entirety, the entire course, including the reporter from the Iowa City Press Citizen, saying it with all due respect. She didn't directly say that, but that was essentially, with all due respect here, you're yanking our chains. Mm-hmm. And the response was, a third party sent
that. It wasn't me.
And I passed one of those Corridor 380 buses on the way back from Iowa City to Cedar Rapids this afternoon. I think a bus even bigger than that ran over a couple people in Iowa City earlier today. And you've got, what wasn't asked, was Gary traveling for, you know, was this part of the being on the college football playoff committee?
Yeah, like where are you during this time? Where, this is kind of important.
Okay. That question didn't come up. Shame on me. Standing there, could have very well asked it. I never said that, and I'm not sure are two exact direct quotes from that address with the media today. And the I'm not sure part comes from he doesn't know the timing of when the news release went out and when he talked with Jamie Pollard.
So, or he did know and realized that it seemed as though.
So you understand, and again, this all dates back to that release. That is Genesis chapter 1 here with regard to the entire story. The release of the Monday news release that Iowa was looking into some allegations. Without that, and I'm not saying this isn't a story and it doesn't come to light, but without that release, which Iowa blames the media for because, well, it was media inquiries that led Iowa to put out the release. So now it's all the media's fault. But without that, we're not going on 10 days of this. So I do feel that this is the end, unless there's some sort of smoking gun that comes forward. I don't think the band kids at this point really want to come forward because they don't want the hell on earth that would be unleashed on them by Iowa State fans. And I feel confident in saying that because there would be one or two idiots out there that would go to the end of the world to make life miserable for these kids if they knew their names publicly. And if you don't think that the same thing would happen if things were reversed, that's on you because it would. This is not an Iowa and Iowa State thing, and yet virtually everybody is viewing this through the prism of Iowa or Iowa State colored glasses. And I tweeted this earlier today, and I wasn't necessarily shocked, but I was a little surprised at the number of people who actually agreed with me on this. But this is very much a societal issue. This goes well beyond Iowa and Iowa State. This is, we see this in politics, which, by the way, if you're following the national headlines, it's only going to get worse. We see this in politics. We see it in sports. We see it in our everyday lives, whether it's at work, whether it's with neighbors. There is no gray area. And it's tiring and it's exhausting because you can't even get people to find some common ground. And in this instance, you can't get somebody to say, my goodness, this seems horrible. What can we do to make sure that it never happens? You can get them to say that, but they will tack on the qualifier at the end. Oh my God, this is horrible. Let's make sure that this never happens again. Oh, by the way, this has happened to us before because you guys have done it too. Nobody wants to be an adult about this, and that's what's really frustrating. And again, it's tiring. It's tiring, and nothing's going to change. We are so far through the looking glass here, and everything is eroding around us as a society because of it.
Yeah, I mean, the discussion, we're not sitting here having the discussion like, okay, the band does not need to be, how can we find a way for the band not to have to walk through thousands of people in a crowded space that looks almost like a fire hazard?
I walked through that same space. I know exactly where they went out.
I watched that video, and it just gave me anxiety just watching it, trying to get hundreds of band members in full uniform with their instruments walking through a sea of humanity.
We came down the elevator from the press box onto the Jack Trice concourse, and we were trying to make our way to the Jacobson building, which is where the post-game interviews are held. And because of the way that things are laid out, because of the construction that they have done and are doing there, it's a huge choke point. And we're trying to walk across a sea of people because the building we need to get to is east-west. And people are heading north-south out of the stadium. And there were times John Bonenkamp was right there next to me, and he can attest to this. There were times where you got jostled or shoved sort of inadvertently because right. I think people thought you were shoving them. Well, really what we're trying to do is cut as gently or delicately as we could through this sea of people. And Iowa State is saying that they told Iowa to go out one gate and they went out the wrong gate. And okay, that doesn't excuse the behavior here. And it's just everybody wants to pass the buck. Everybody wants to for somebody else to take the blame, even in handling this. You hear Gary Barta, well, Barbara Burke is dealing with this. Okay, that doesn't put you in the best light either. Not everything is something that can be easily delegated. And Mark Emmert from the Des Moines Register, I thought, asked some pretty pointed questions there today. I do think this is the end of it, though, but it's just the craziness of all of this. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's squeeze in Rob in Center Point here, and then we'll get a big board update from Kyle and talk with Kevin Kaduk of Yahoo Sports coming up in just a few minutes. Go ahead, Rob. What's up?
All right. On the lighter side of it, a few weeks ago, we were looking for a different name for the Cy-Hawk battle. Well, we can change it now to Battle of the Bands, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. But I do appreciate the attempt to make this lighthearted, because there are a lot of hurt feelings on both sides of this. And again, it's virtually impossible for anybody to view this through anything other than Iowa-Iowa State. And it's not Iowa-Iowa State.
You view it in the least important way possible.
And
well, this is how your fan base acts. No, this is how your fan base acts. Instead of, how are those band members feeling?
And I've seen the suggestion that next year when the Iowa State band comes to Kinnick, that you shower them, kill them with kindness, which is my absolute favorite cop-out. Because kill them with kindness. Because guess what? Not everybody's going to do that.
Nope.
And so the 98% of people that will be wonderful and kind, there's still going to be 2% out there that they're not going to care. And I've heard people say that it's an issue with young, out of control. I'm willing to wager that quite a few people involved in this are north of 40. Stupidity and jackassery knows no age limit. And so you're talking about multi-generations of people here. We all need to be better, and yet we can't bring ourselves to be better. It's the exact same principle of the biblical principle of let he who be without sin cast the first stone. Just butchered that. I'm really not much of a biblical scholar, even though I did take several Holstein classes at the University of Iowa. But it's sort of along those lines here. Nobody wants to be the first one to change things. And so what you get is you just get the status quo, and you get people that, well, yeah, it's easy to say we should treat people better, but I don't want to treat the person in the cubicle next to me any better, because the minute that Iowa State wins the game next year, he's going to come and throw it in my face. So what good does it do for me to be nice to Cardinals fans over the last 4 years, because the minute that the Cardinals sweep the Cubs over the weekend to essentially end their season, Cardinals fans are coming out of witness protection program, and that's what we're dealing with here. Is that no matter how many people want to talk about being better, nobody actually wants to be troubled with being better. And that's how you get situations like this, and it's how things continue to fester and escalate.
And I think that the people that actually do want to be better, I do think there are people out there that do want to be better, but they fall into this cycle of seeing all the negativity, and there's just sort of a hopelessness for those people. Do you not feel that?
I definitely feel hopeless after the last couple days, but I'm not sure it has anything to do with this.
Because you can be as nice as possible, and you're still going to see we live in a day and age of social media and constant outrage, and it just feels like that's not going anywhere anytime soon. That hopeless feeling does not go away.
Outrage sells. And I'll let you in on a little dirty secret here of this business. And it's something that I learned a long time ago. And if you really listen closely, sometimes you'll actually hear me put this to practice. But when you're in this position and you sort of live or die on the interaction with people who are listening to you, you need to figure out a way to get them to chime in. And one of the ways to do that is to use a certain word. And that word starts with F, and it's four letters long. And I'm having some fun with this because your mind's immediately going somewhere. Ask someone how they feel about something. Don't say, we're going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about it. Okay, well, I'll sit back and listen to three or four guys yik-yak like they're at the bar, and I'll fall asleep. But if you ask another human being, how do you feel about something? And you frame it strongly enough, but you just ask that one little word, because everybody feels strongly about virtually anything. Ask me something, you know, have an opinion on it. Well, how do you feel about this? Well, I'll tell you. Feel. And the minute that you go down that road, phew, easy street. Kevin Kaduk of Yahoo Sports set to join us here shortly. Bears fan, a lead sports writer for Yahoo, lead editor, I should say, for Yahoo Sports. Coming up momentarily, Bears with a nice win last night on the road over Washington. Mitchell Trubisky looked better. David Montgomery still sort of missing in action. Matt Nagy losing as many followers as he's gained over the last couple of years. Let's bring Kyle into the studio here. He's going to bring you a big board update. Big board updates on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Three times a day, brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City.
It's day 10 of Marching Band Gate, and both Iowa State's Jamie Pollard and Iowa's Gary Barta spoke with the media to keep this thing going. For the first time, somebody shared some details of what actually happened as the Iowa State police highlighted five reported events, included beer being dumped, another object being thrown, and cracking the windshield of the football team's bus, a verbal altercation between Iowa's band director and Iowa State's director of facilities, another verbal altercation between a band member and security personnel, and one member suffering broken ribs after being pushed and falling while carrying a ladder. All this being said, Pollard did say he's committed to maintaining the Seahawks series. Barta spoke later in the day and didn't offer nearly as much information, but did say that, quote, we didn't really conduct an investigation, quote, I still don't know exactly what happened, and that he has not met with the alleged victims. In regards to Bruce Harreld's suggestion that the series could be discontinued, Barta says he meant what he said. There was at least a little bit of football news from the football team's availability in Iowa City, and that being Kyler Schott is set to miss a couple weeks with a foot injury, likely to be replaced by Cole Banward, as he's now healthy, although he's about the only one. Kirk Ferentz said none of the guys who've missed time with injuries are expected back this week, including Alaric Jackson, Matt Hankins, and Kevon Merriweather. For the Cyclones, Colin Newell's back to practice, as is Ken Anwangwu, although Matt Campbell says they're questionable at best for this weekend. Tonight after the show, we're going to join the Twins and Tigers in progress on 107.5 FM The North Gym.
And Iowa State has just sent out a release that Rajir Bolton has been granted an extra year of eligibility by the NCAA. He is eligible for the 2019-2020 season, averaged 11.6 points as a freshman at Penn State. He's been granted that waiver by the NCAA, making him immediately eligible to play this upcoming season. So some good news for Steve Prohm and the Iowa State men's basketball program today.
Yeah, that coming in about the last 3 minutes, I believe first reported by John Rothstein. So very good news for Iowa State, and I hope that we get to move forward and talk about actual X's and O's.
Basketball Media Day, Missouri Valley Media Day, is going on in St. Louis.
It is. It seems a little bit early to be talking about Missouri Valley Conference basketball, but that's up to them.
We're just now getting into football. You'd be fooled or hard pressed, given the fact that we've spent the better part of the last week or so talking about bands, but football season just started. It's too early to be thinking about basketball. Kevin Kaduk of Yahoo Sports set to join the program in just a little bit. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM. Back with more after this.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
So you're saying there's a chance, a slim one, but not much when it comes to the Cubs' postseason chances. The team is four games back in the National League wildcard hunt tonight with six games remaining. Their elimination number is three. Any combination of Cubs losses or wins by the Milwaukee Brewers gets the job done. So where is Chicago's mindset as it begins a three-game series at Pittsburgh tonight, where the Cubs will face Cedar Rapids native Mitch Keller in the opener? Chris Bryant, who sprained his ankle in Sunday's loss to St. Louis, says he'd like to play again in 2019. Javier Baez took grounders and played catch today. Anthony Rizzo, another member of Chicago's Walking Wounded, is in the lineup and batting leadoff tonight at PNC Park. That doesn't sound like a team that's packing it in and turning its attention to 2020, does it? Would it be prudent to? That's another question altogether. Again, the odds of a late postseason run are slim. Less than 3% slim. First pitch in Pittsburgh is set for 6 o'clock.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat, working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills.
Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Simplify supper this season. Order Happy Joe's in Cedar Rapids. Happy Joe's has the biggest large pizza in town to fill up the whole fam. And you could save some dough with Happy Joe's hot deals at HappyJoesCR.com. While you're there, sign up for Happy Joe's VIP Club too for exclusive offers and to earn points towards a free pizza. Go to HappyJoesCR.com and order your favorite pizza online from Happy Joe's 3 Cedar Rapids locations. Delivery or carryout available.
Wednesdays, we talk sports betting in Iowa with the experts on WagerWise. Miss the show? Catch the WagerWise podcast at KGYMRadio.com. Brought to you by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort.
4:38, welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM. Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times joins us tonight at 5:30 as we touch on all things Hawkeye football related. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com at 6:05 tonight. And Words with Ferentz, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, also coming up tonight at 6:25. Your chance to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. That's headed your way in between Ed Creech and Words with Ferentz at 6:25 this evening. We will be back at Mulligan's next Thursday night for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Haven't had much of an opportunity to hit on Monday Night Football last night, but the Bears putting one in the win column, taking care of the Redskins, and here to talk about that and more, noted Chicago Bears fan, Kevin Kaduk, the lead editor for Yahoo Sports, but as we mentioned, also a big fan of the Bears. And Kevin, are you feeling any better about Mitchell Trubisky after watching last night's game?
Well, I don't know if better is the right word, but I think it was probably something that we needed to see from him that first half. He completed 20 passes. It was efficient. I think we've gotten over the fact that he's, you know, going to be Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. He's probably never going to be that explosive guy. But with this defense and the way that they come after the opponent, drive after drive, you just need him to be efficient and keep the chains moving and keep that time of possession. Now, they dialed it back in the second half, and he threw that really bad interception that I think has the really kind of doomsayer portion of the Bears fan base kind of all lathered up today. But I think that first half was encouraging, and now they come back Sunday afternoon date with Minnesota, and you see where they go from there, I guess.
Yeah, you mentioned that interception. And the thing with watching him, it's hard to figure him out. He has stretches where of clarity, and then he throws that interception where you're just like, what in the world was that? Can you put into words what you see from Mitchell Trubisky Sunday in and Sunday out?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because right before the half, he throws that touchdown pass to Taylor Gabriel, and you say, okay, that's the pass. That's why
right.
You expect stuff from Mitchell Trubisky. That's why we spent all, you know, 7 or 8 months of the offseason thinking, okay, maybe he can make the next step. And then and he comes back and he throws a fade to the end corner of the end zone that doesn't even cross the goal line. So it's like, you know, what can you do? But, you know, I think when it comes down to it, you know, unless you're a top five quarterback, sometimes you do make those throws. With Trubisky, it's like you just have to, you know, like let's not just do that every single game because he'll make those throws and they'll get dropped or whatever. They don't often come back to bite him like they did last night. Luckily, they were up by 28 points at that time, but yeah, it's just kind of crazy. I know that he's a guy that did not start, you know, 2, 3, or 4 years in college. I know that this is kind of really his only second season if you throw out what, you know, the fact that he had indentured servitude under John Fox. So there is hope that maybe Matt Nagy can really channel something and get him to where he needs to be. But how long would that take? And, you know, and if the Bears, I don't want to say championship window is open, but this window that the defense has afforded them is still open. Can Trubisky get to that level? That's where Bears fans seem to be so, you know, so nervous about.
What are your thoughts on Matt Nagy as a play caller? There were times again last night where I saw a number of my fellow friends and colleagues who are Bears fans questioning some of the things they were seeing.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, obviously, last year he kind of rolled the dice a lot of times with the trick plays and came up big. I think he's an imaginative guy. He's certainly probably someone that we've never really seen here in Chicago in terms of just being an offensive-minded coach that succeeds. I mean, he succeeded last year in a way that Mark Trestman or John Shoup or whoever else did it. But, I don't know. I think right now my problem with Nagy is that he doesn't really seem to have a lot of trust in Trubisky, and he doesn't seem willing to let Trubisky make a lot of mistakes. So you see a lot of the short routes, the out routes that are 5, 7, 8 yards in length. Can we get this guy stretched a little bit more to be going downfield? Because they do have weapons. But these first three seasons, we haven't seen anything from Anthony Miller or Allen Robinson. Can we get more of these guys involved in the game plan? I think that's what he needs. He needs to trust in Trubisky to deal with all of those guys.
What about the usage of a running back? Does it still seem like he's trying to figure out how to use a guy like David Montgomery? And we know how things ended with Jordan Howard last season.
Yeah, I think they had high hopes for David Montgomery. I think that they shuffled things around on the line, and I think that's really still kind of causing problems for them. I mean, add in that defenses that really are okay with Trubisky burning them, and you really haven't been able to establish a ground game. I think they would like to. I just don't think they've really kind of figured that out yet, and hopefully that will kind of happen as the season progresses.
Kevin Kaduk with us of Yahoo Sports, the lead editor for that website, also the founder of Big League Stew. I've been a big fan for a long time, Kevin. Glad to have you on the program with us. What do you think of the rest of the division at this point? Are you surprised to see Green Bay at 3-0?
No, I mean, obviously not with Aaron Rodgers. I think maybe in Chicago people are kind of hoping that the new coach and Rodgers butting heads would kind of lead to an implosion. But they made some nice pickups and really kind of shored up that defense. Defense also has some pretty young contributors. So, no, I'm not, not that surprised by it. Now, the Lions, I think have looked pretty good, all things considered. Matt Patricia had an awful first year, but now they've kind of come out the gate pretty nice. And I don't think there's any question that it's definitely the probably strongest division in football right now.
When you look at the rest of the NFL, has there been what has been the biggest disappointment to this point for you?
That's a good question. I guess everyone was on the Browns bandwagon, kind of wanted to come out and really see what they could do. They've been kind of middling. They really haven't done I don't think anyone was. I wasn't expecting them to go to the Super Bowl. Some people are saying, oh, they could make a deep run, but I was hoping that. That we would see with some of those weapons they had, that they would really be firing on all cylinders. I think Freddie Kitchens is probably really holding him back after watching him on Sunday night. We probably should have been a little bit more wary about a guy who was promoted in such fashion.
I was going to say Freddie Kitchens, the play calling, the 4th-and-9 draw play call. is there any other way to describe him than sort of in over his head at this point?
It kind of looks that way, right?
Certainly does.
On Twitter. He looks like he's continuing Mike McCarthy's tradition of looking like a guy who just fell out of a tree stand to coach an NFL coaching. He's got the hat and the hoodie. Maybe a nice guy. I know Baker Mayfield respected him, and it kind of seemed like that's what got him the job. But I don't know if he was ready to make that jump right away.
Kevin, you take a look at some of the other storylines, a lot of big injuries at the quarterback position so far this season. Which one has you concerned the most? I would assume that the Steelers playing an entire season without Ben Roethlisberger would certainly be near the top of the list.
Yeah, I think that has to be just for the fact that he's out for the year and he's not coming back. With Drew Brees, even right after that happened and even before the win in Seattle, I said, okay, Teddy Bridgewater is a guy that can steer them through the next 5, 6, or 7 weeks. I think that Brees will be afforded the time to heal up and get better. So I think it probably has to be Roethlisberger, although even with him, I don't know where that team was going. They kind of seem a little bit rudderless. Obviously, a lot of turnover there in the past few years with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. So I think that would be it. The one thing that just I think is encouraging as an NFL fan is you've lost almost a quarter of the league. If you count Andrew Luck, a quarter of the league in this first, 3 or 4 weeks, and quarterback play doesn't seem to have taken a big hit. Eli Manning goes out, Daniel Jones comes in and looks like, hey, you make Dave Gettleman look like a genius. Jacoby Brissett's been doing well at the Colts. So I think when you're just a fan who likes watching Red Zone and likes watching, top end play, it seems like these younger quarterbacks are up to the challenge. So I think that's good as we kind of go into the new era of the NFL.
Of all the stories that you've ever covered, have any of them been as annoying and throughout the twists and turns as the Antonio Brown saga over the past couple of months?
Is annoying the right word? I mean, it was so entertaining, although I don't know if I should say entertaining because the guy obviously has problems. But, I mean, this thing could fill a 300-page book at this point, and I don't think we're done. So with the Patriots and Brown continuing to clash heads over, what he's owed and how much they need to pay him, and there's going to be grievances filed, and he's probably going to go to Twitter and slam Robert Kraft and Tom Brady and whoever else more. It's just one of these things you just can't look away from. It's a car crash.
Kevin, before we let you go, I know that you're also a Blackhawks fan just like me. The season is about to get underway. Preseason is underway right now. Is there any reason for optimism this season at the United Center?
I was out there on Saturday night. The Bruins brought in a depleted team that I think was formed mostly of like a Harvard intramural team, and they played them pretty evenly. So I'm a little bit worried. Obviously, they made some additions on the back end and tried to shore up a defense, but those guys kind of seem to be of the older and slower set, so that's concerning. Hopefully their number three draft pick, Kirby Dash, will be something, but he has suffered a concussion in the prospects camp and is slow to come back. So maybe he comes back and makes that team a little deeper forward wise, but, I'll take playoffs at this point and be happy with it.
And that's exactly the type of optimism I was looking for there. Kevin, we appreciate you joining us, and maybe we'll chat with you down the road again sometime. Thanks a lot.
All right, appreciate it. Take care.
See Kevin you. Kevin Kaduk of Yahoo Sports. You can give him a follow at Kevin Kaduk on Twitter. Okay, hockey season is over. We're already moving on from college football season to media days and college basketball. Things go. We got to slow the timeline down here a little bit.
Yeah, we do.
I'm envious of the St. Louis Blues fans. It's still honeymoon time with the Stanley Cup, and you've got a baseball team again for the first time in 4 years.
And they made a big move today.
I saw that, and you were I took from the tone of your response to it that you were caught off guard by that. In a good
shocked.
Way or a bad way?
In a great way.
Okay.
The St. Louis Blues made a trade. They acquired all-star defenseman Justin Faulk from the Carolina Hurricanes for a prospect, one of their defensemen, Joel Edmondson, and a fifth-round pick. And then they signed him for a 7-year deal, so he'll be around for quite a while in the prime of his career. I think he's 27 years old. So I was shocked to see that move and completely caught off guard, but definitely in a good way. That defense for the St. Louis Blues, if they stay healthy, should be pretty, pretty good.
Can't wait for Smokin' Dave Koken's NHL preseason pick of the week coming up.
I've been refreshing my Twitter page.
On Thursday's edition of the Gym Class, Smokin' Dave Koken, live from Las Vegas every Thursday on the Gym Class. We mentioned Scott and Mark. They are the lead-in to this show every day, Monday through Friday, 3 until 4. They are brought to you by Third Base Brewery here in Cedar Rapids, the presenting sponsor for the Gym Class. 319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Again, Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times will be with us tonight at 5:30, so give him about 40 minutes or so to continue compiling his news and notes for the Quad City Times from Kirk Ferentz's media availability today. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com at 6:05 tonight. as we pretty much have a good picture of what the postseason will look like in the AL and NL at this point. And we'll, of course, throw some dirt on the Chicago Cubs 2019 season. They face Mitch Keller tonight, and it should be an interesting one. His second time seeing the Cubs, he pitched against them in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, quite a few weeks ago, the Little League Classic. Cubs still theoretically alive for a wild card spot, although the elimination number at this point is 3. We will talk about that and more with Ed Creech again coming up in the third and final hour tonight. A quick timeout, and when we return, more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM after this.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere.
Sports.
This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Field House First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food. Stay for the sports. Field House First Avenue. Cedar Rapids.
Get ready, West Branch. The Whirlpool Careers tailgate tour is coming Friday to get you pumped up for the game. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there too.
Welcome back to Sports View. Next topic. Is it really all about power? Makes me think of Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Gives you the power to find options based on your budget. Let's go to Chuck for an irrelevant analogy.
Man, back in the day, people didn't ask how many oranges are in the crate. They just took the oranges. They didn't say, are there 6, 7, 12, 15, whatever. It was just oranges. You get me?
We get you, Chuck. In a word, oranges.
Give it to us straight with the Progressive Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Do you think all premium fuels are the same? Well, your engine doesn't. New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus helps keep your engine running like new because it's engineered to defend against four main engine threats: gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. So next time, choose Shell's most advanced fuel ever. It's fuel for thought. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline.
Sport Clips Haircuts and NASCAR's number 20 driver, Eric Jones. Want to see you at the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup race in Texas, Sunday, November 3rd. Enter now for your chance to win the ultimate NASCAR race fan experience at sportclips.com/Texas. Meet Eric Jones and win pit passes, hospitality tickets, and more. For the best NASCAR has to offer, enter now at sportclips.com/Texas. No purchase necessary. U.S. only. Age 18 or older. Ends October 4th, 2019. Void where prohibited.
Will Kane here. If you're like me, you have a mortgage and a family who depends on your income, then you need to protect the ones you love with life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can't afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. A cup of coffee a day costs more than that. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-417-5440. That's 1-800-417-5440. Or go to selectquote.com/will. That's selectquote.com/WILL. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
4:56, welcome back in. Your chance to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road is coming up at 6:25 tonight after we chat with Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com. The non-band related news today in the state of Iowa, Razier Bolton is going to be able to play this year for Iowa State. The Cyclones sending out a news release within the past hour. As we touched on earlier here in the 4 o'clock. You're going to play him along with Tyrese Halliburton and Prentice Nixon in that backcourt, and suddenly you go from a team that lost three starters last year and six players off that roster to suddenly a team that looks like it could be could be the favorite to win the Big 12 this year, especially if the NCAA comes down hard on Kansas. We've seen the reports out there.
They have to, don't they?
Well, the Kansas is going to do its best to put off the penalties until April or May, but I don't think they can control the punishment that will be headed their way, and it does sound bad. You have Bill Self being named. You've got level one violations across the board, and the term lack of institutional control thrown around there. Bolton looked good when he was playing for Pat Chambers at Penn State.
He did.
He cited, I believe it was a personal reason for transferring, a non-basketball-related issue. His father said back in April when they announced that he was leaving Penn State, said school was great academically, the support system was tremendous, there were just some situations that went on throughout the course of the season that were just hard to come back from as a family. I think a fresh start may be the best thing for him. That's what his father, Ray, told the Pennsylvania newspaper back in April. And he's going to get that fresh start in Ames now. And boy, oh boy, if you're an Iowa State fan that's tired of being mired in the muck of talking about the band and what did and what didn't happen, you can hang your hat on this, because this right there is good news for Iowa State today.
It is. And I think it's interesting that there were some things going on with, this is speculation at this point, but Pat Chambers last year and the last 2 years with certain players who were involved in altercations. And I'm not saying that that's a part of it, but you just wonder now with the NCAA, what goes into a hardship waiver? I would love to know. We never will, but I would love to know.
It's one of life's unanswered questions at this point. I'm not sure the NCAA even knows. 1 hour down, two to go. We'll kick it off next, the 5 o'clock hour, right around the corner. Don't go anywhere. Back with more after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
And Radio Sports Center.
This fall for Bryce Harper and the Phillies. They were eliminated from postseason contention by a 4-1 loss to the Nationals, Harper's former team, in the doubleheader opener. Washington can clinch an NL wildcard spot with a win in tonight's nightcap, plus a Cubs loss to the Pirates. NFL, the 0-3 Redskins sticking with Case Keenum at quarterback. That's what Coach Jay Gruden said after a loss to Chicago. There were chants of "Let's go Haskins" last night in Landover in reference to first-round pick Dwayne Haskins, but right now, the Redskins aren't prepared to hand over the reins to him, notes ESPN's Dan Graziano.
In terms of Haskins, the organization is at a point right now where they don't think he's ready to play. Their offensive line is a mess. Trent Williams is still sitting home, you know, waiting to be traded. And, they're just not at a point where they want to put him in.
Dan Graziano on Golic and Wingo. NBA Nets point guard Kyrie Irving took an inadvertent elbow to the face during a pickup game at the team's practice facility today. He was sent to the hospital to be evaluated. GM Sean Marks says they're just being cautious with Kyrie.
Coming up Wednesday, is your NFL team a major disappointment?
Well, your old buddies Mike and Trey got you with the midweek crisis, plus a defensive head coach, a top defensive veteran, and a rookie, and nothing to show for it? That and more in Golic and Wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
This SportsCenter update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the team you love, the people you trust since 2004.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Kinnick Stadium, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game when you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
When you're juggling multiple things just to get the job done, sometimes equipment on your work site sits idle or will be used for something else, like your skid steer being used as a bird bath or your excavator becoming a back scratcher. But idle equipment costs you and your work site time and money, which is why United Rentals is combining equipment, data, safety, and expertise to help your worksite perform better. To learn more, visit unitedrentals.com.
503, welcome back. It is the 5 o'clock hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM. Poll question available for you again today at KGYMradio.com. Has to do with the status of the Iowa-Iowa State football series held over by popular demand for a second day. The poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Bruce Harold's comments yesterday serving as a setup for both athletic directors, Jamie Pollard and Gary Barta, to come off looking less than stellar today. Emil's Hideaway also brings you an opportunity to take home a $30 gift certificate every week on the gym class with the Pick Six presented by Emil's Hideaway. I won last week with a mediocre 3-3 record. It was not a fantastic week for any of the panelists, but you can tune in on Thursday this week at 3:45 due to the Whirlpool Careers High School tailgate tour on Friday. So Thursday is your opportunity to tune in and win with the six of us. We appreciate Dave joining us in the studio every week to make picks. We will be picking both the Iowa State-Baylor game, the Bears getting about 2.5 points the last time that I took a peek at the Elite Sportsbook mobile site, and Iowa as a 24.5-point favorite over Middle Tennessee. We'll get into the Blue Raiders and Hawkeyes at 5:30 tonight with Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times, set to join us coming up in just a few minutes. We'll take just a look. I needed something desperately to take my mind off all of this band stuff today, and I got it as I was sitting just trying to have a peaceful lunch in Iowa City at one of my favorite places to eat near downtown Iowa City, and I happened to glance at my phone, and I was on Twitter, and I came across a 2-minute trailer that may or may not have changed my life. And I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but it's happening. Netflix has a Breaking Bad movie, which is picking up the conclusion of Breaking Bad, the TV series that I think will go down as one of the best in American history. And it is going to come out, I believe, in November. And it's going to feature Aaron Paul's character, Jesse Pinkman, as the primary protagonist here. El Camino is it's a 2-minute trailer. And if you get a chance, check it out, because if you watched Breaking Bad, it's going to have you counting down the days until this airs on Netflix, and probably going to have a lot of people hoping that they can get in on that 30-day free trial period for Netflix, too, if they're in that window of people who cancel Netflix and then walk away from it, and then they come back and try to get as much for paying as little as possible, which seems to be the American way now in virtually everything.
Just changing your email address?
Yeah.
Well, smart decision. Is there any chance that the movie lives up to the hype?
Oh, absolutely. I think there were a lot of people who watched that TV show who felt not necessarily betrayed, but teased by the fact that you see Jesse surviving the aftermath of the series finale, and you know that he's out there as a free man. What happens next? And it appears Vince Gilligan and company have addressed that, and It looks like Bryan Cranston is going to be involved and some of the other actors that you know and love from the TV series. And so there, that was my brief respite today from all of the just insane, mind-numbing, brain-melting band talk. And then about an hour later, I was sitting there with indigestion from lunch and listening to Gary Barta completely. I don't know how to describe it at this point, but again, as I said earlier, this is Jamie Pollard and Gary Barta seemingly trying to one-up each other, and not necessarily tone deafness, but let's see who can handle this worse. Iowa State talked at 11 o'clock today. Gary Barta talked at about 1:45 after Kirk Ferentz was done, and I walked away unimpressed by both athletic directors in this. The issue is as close to being put to bed as possible, but it just, there were some things that left me scratching my head leaving Iowa City, and I was thinking about them driving all the way back up here today to the KGYM studios. The timeline, he doesn't know the timeline on when the release went out and whether or not he talked to Jamie Pollard before or after. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that's important.
It's kind of what, it's like the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, right? It's the one event that sets in motion everything else that takes place after it. And his response, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And then just, you know, I never said that with regard to the investigation.
Or non-investigation.
There's a lot of gray area here today as to whether or not there's even an investigation. And it didn't sit well with the poor reporter from the Iowa City Press Citizen who, as we found out today, the quote came from a third party, not even directly from Gary Barta. And of course, this is the world's oldest miscommunication, right? We've all played telephone when we were a kid, and it's virtually impossible to have even the shortest string, three or four people, and you start at one end and you say, okay, here's what you're relaying. And by the time you get to the fourth person, something gets lost in translation. And this is how a major athletic department is run. And it's not just at Iowa, but you're calling and you're trying to get a comment on something and you get shielded. You don't get to the person that you need to talk to. You get somebody underneath and they tell you one thing and they're not on the same page with the person that they're speaking for. And now you've got all sorts of obfuscation. I'm sounding like Stugatz there. I can't get the word that I'm looking for. Obfuscation. Slow down there, genius. Spit it out.
I mean, it's hard to use such big words like that. I would have trouble with that one, too. I don't care what got misconstrued or this or that. If you call somebody for a comment and you comment on something, it came from the athletic department. I am so tired of the pushing the blame off thing. Like, it's somehow our fault.
How's Barbara Burke
exactly.
doing today? Hey, you know what?
Barbara Burke's been there. She's been traveling around.
Handsomely. And that's the thing that I remind myself here. And I'm not going to feel sorry for not rushing to the aid of Jamie Pollard or Gary Barta here, because these two gentlemen, while at the peak of their profession, are compensated handsomely for being the face of the athletic departments that they collectively run. So I don't feel too bad about heaping criticism on somebody when they deserve it. And I think both of these guys deserve it because, again, they're digging in their heels, and this is an Iowa story, and this is an Iowa State story, and we have to assign blame to the other side. And nobody's capable of standing up and being an adult and saying, you know what, this shouldn't have happened. It's terrible. We want to get to the bottom of it, period. There always has to be a qualifier attached at the end. And in this particular instance, it's coming from Iowa State. But we hope that our band gets treated better at Iowa, too, because this has happened. Stuff like this has happened. And if you flip the script, Iowa would be doing the same thing. They would attach that same qualifier. They would say, but we hope that our band gets treated better. So you can't say Iowa and Iowa State, nobody has the moral high ground here. And again, the adults appear to be the band kids who only spoke up when the system failed them spectacularly, which is a great life lesson.
Yeah, and that was the other part of the statement we didn't even get to from Gary Barta. He was saying, well, I told him to go here and then here and then here. It was once again like, hey, let me pass you off to somebody else who may or may not listen to you.
Which is, if anybody's gone to a state university before, it's yep. how anything functions there. Try going to student health and getting taken care of there if you're not feeling well, or going to the registrar's office to drop a class. And it's jump through this hoop and that hoop. Let's go to the phone lines. They are open, by the way, 319-366-1600. That also doubles as the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Sonny in Iowa City wants to weigh in. Sonny, what's up?
I mean, I wasn't going to talk about that, but you bring up an excellent point at the end about like how easy it is to give a kid the runaround at a major institution. There's a million places you can send somebody that you know is just not going to be your problem anymore. That's an excellent observation. I think that at the end of the day, I mean, the whole story becomes just a failure of the athletic departments to competently do their job. And then, you know, the ridiculousness of the ongoing, you know, we did everything that we were supposed to do. Well, you clearly didn't, you know, and if that is what you were supposed to do, then the system that you designed yourself isn't helping anybody. So I think everyone is tired of it. I know everyone is tired of it. I'm even tired of it. And I was in the band and nobody wants to hear about it anymore. But the athletic departments continue to put their foot in their mouth.
Thank you.
And provide ammunition for this entire story to keep going.
I'm standing here. I've got 6 feet of dirt to my right and a shovel in my hand. And I am wanting desperately to start turning spadefuls of dirt back into this giant hole. And Gary Barta and Jamie Pollard are screaming, no, 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 no. They just refuse to let this rest in peace. Everybody has to issue a clarification, or they've got to say their piece. And again, you have the band students here who apparently trusted the wrong people to do right by them. And the only reason that this thing blew up into a stage four S storm is the fact that the band members were like, okay, he's not looking into this anymore. We were told it was going to be taken care of. So they go public. They went around the middleman. There's no assistant to the associate athletic director shielding the band members from posting on their private Facebook accounts. And so that's what set off the sirens on this one is, okay, now you've got band members making it pretty public what occurred here. And then the race was on, which is a tremendous George Jones song, and I'm still working my way through the country music documentary on PBS. Can't wait to get home tonight and watch the next chapter. George Jones, if you're unfamiliar, greatest country music singer of all time. Many people are saying it. The race was on for Gary Barta and Jamie Pollard to see who could make the other one look slightly less.
Right.
I don't even want to say the word incompetent. Oh, I just did. And again, Iowa State fans are going to have Jamie Pollard's back on this because he's their guy, and he should be. He's very good at his job. He didn't handle this one very well. He came off today as if he were blaming the victim, which is not how you want to come across in any sort of instance where somebody is harmed. We told them to go out one exit, and they didn't listen to us. So they were sort of asking for it. Now, that's not a direct quote, but that's reading between the lines. And then Iowa's culpability here is that you had too many cooks in the kitchen, apparently, and nobody was making sure that the recipe got followed to completion. And now Gary Barta is out there saying things ridiculously off the wall, like, I am not sure about the timing of when I had the conversation with Jamie Pollard and when the news release went out on Monday. And I never said that, when people are taking screen grabs of the Iowa City Press Citizen story where it says Barta says, because a third party in between spoke on his behalf, and they didn't have the whole story, apparently. Or at least that's Iowa's story, and they're sticking to it. And it's just, it's one upsmanship at this point to see who can make the other one look slightly more competent.
Yeah, no, honestly, I think that's that's a perfect assessment, because what I take away from hearing those two talk, and especially Gary Barta, is they realize that this entire situation was flubbed and they don't know what to do about it. Am I far off there? Because
no,
we're 10
you're not.
Days removed.
And you know what? That's really what lies at the heart of the issue here, is that neither side can admit that they screwed up. It has to be somebody else's fault. Iowa State can't just come out and say, we screwed the pooch on this one, and we didn't put the band in a position to succeed, and we own it. And Iowa can't come out and say, you know what? We probably could have done more, especially before we left the site. Before we left, the minute you leave town, then things get pretty murky. And so Iowa can't admit it. Iowa State can't admit it. And then it becomes, well, we just got to try to make the other side sound as foolish as possible. When really, in the end, what they're accomplishing is they're making themselves sound just as foolish. I mean, I'm sorry, but basically what Iowa State and Jamie Pollard in particular today was blaming the victim. It's telling the Iowa band that it's its own fault for the things that occurred here. I'm sorry, that just doesn't fly with me.
I saw the video that was released by Iowa State. Here's the bottom line. The band should never have to be in that situation. Those kids...
But Alex, they were marching aggressively.
Those kids should not have been in that situation. Did you see how many people were there? I would have been terrified walking in that crowd without a tuba.
For the millionth time, I did, because I was there. No, and I walked in the same crowd, and yes. And whether or not somebody didn't listen when they were told which gate to go out, maybe they were told to go out a gate that took them, made their walk even longer, which wouldn't surprise me, because again, there were reports last year that the Iowa State band had to march a mile to its bus,
right?
Because heaven forbid, we can't logistically figure out how to put a bus next to a stadium so that kids can get out, get in and out. We do it with the football team. The football team's equipment semi is on a loading dock, and the buses are right out the door. Players walk out of the locker room, they barely have to deal with anybody.
Yeah, they don't even have to carry their own bags.
But the band, well, you guys can walk, you can walk a mile back to your bus. It's no big deal. And they're a marching band, and they're staying in formation, and they're doing what bands do, which is march. And so you get the ridiculous things people are saying, like, well, they were marching aggressively into a crowd of fans. Marching aggressively. That's going to be one of these terms that I think people won't forget. And it's going to be probably emblazoned on T-shirts or God knows where. And you have people trying to figure out, how do you solve this? And you just have to be better. And we are, as a race right now, as a human race, we are incapable of being better. It's not in our DNA anymore. If you followed thousands and thousands of years of evolution, species pick up things and lose things all the time, and somewhere along the line, and I don't know the exact point in time, but we lost that. We lost that ability to be better. And I know there are a lot of people out there that say, and they're hearing that, and they go, no, we can be better. Sadly, I don't think we can in 2019. I think we have lost that ability as humans. And there's probably a million things that you can point to, but what it involves is being the first one to take that step, and nobody's willing to do it. Nobody's willing to be better, because they can always point back to an instance where somebody wronged them, and they don't want to be the people that put the first foot forward. And so we've lost that ability, and we're not getting it back. It's the vestigial tail. It's gone. It's out of the DNA. And you're seeing it in large national and geopolitical headlines, and you're seeing it here hyper-locally in a story between two athletic departments bickering over who screwed the Iowa band over more. And nobody can just step to the forefront and say, you know what? We can do better. And we were wrong. Those are the hardest words to say in the English language are, I or we are wrong. We were wrong. We messed up. Neither side here can say it without trying to place an equal amount of blame on the other side.
This is a learning experience, and we'll make sure it never happens again. Can somebody please say that?
Well, leave the bands at home. That's my favorite response
to
all
of
this.
What is that about?
Because it's the easiest way. It's the cop-out.
Why would you want to leave the bands at home?
It solves nothing, but it makes everybody feel like they solved the problem. And it's not going to happen. As Jamie Pollard said, we're bringing the band to Iowa City next year.
As well they should.
And they better be treated with a freaking red carpet welcome by Iowa fans, because if they're not, then it drives home the point of all of this. Because that's how incidents like the alleged incidents, plural, happened September 14th in the first place. But the problem is, you get 60,000 plus, almost 70,000, 69.5, whatever Kinnick's capacity is now after the renovations. You get that many people in one area, all it takes is one or two people. And they don't have to be drunk. You do not have to. Alcohol does not factor into someone's being an idiot. Sometimes it helps, but you can be stone cold sober and be a jackass. And I've said that for a number of years, and I know it firsthand. And so you get 69,000 people. Of course, there's going to be people that are like, no, we're going to get our payback. And that's when you get problems.
Give them a better entrance into the stadium and give them more security.
At this point, moving forward, that's the best possible solution here, is that you're not putting the toothpaste back in the tube. You're not removing any of the bruises or the physical scars from whatever happened last week, or the mental or emotional scars and people getting groped and all the allegations that are out there. You can't do anything about any of it at this point, but you can do your best to make sure that it doesn't happen again moving forward. And that's what needs to be addressed here. And I do think that they will come up with ways to make sure that interactions between the band and fans moving forward are as limited as possible. And maybe it's better entry to and from the stadium. I think this is all stuff that probably should have been worked out a long, long time ago. But the problem is, you get so wrapped up in people are there for the football, and football's what's important, and everything else is sort of ancillary. These bands are part of what make the college game day experience what it is. And I know I've said that before. I don't want to go to a college football game where there's no bands.
That would take away a lot from the college football experience.
And the experience of these kids who, again, part of this is you sign up for the Hawkeye Marching Band and you're hoping that you're going to Pasadena or San Diego or occasionally New York City, a couple days after Christmas when it's 5 degrees outside.
If you pulled 10 random college football fans, people who enjoy college football more than they do the NFL, and there are a lot of them out there. I'm one of them. How many, and you ask them to give you 5 reasons why you like college football more than the NFL, what are the chances that they say the bands? I bet over half would say the bands.
Now, there was a marching band on the field last night at FedEx Field. The Redskins have their own marching band, and it was so wonderful for reasons that I will not get into on the air. But sitting in my vehicle last night and listening to the broadcast and hearing a marching band ever so faintly in the background on KGYM playing Hail to the Redskins as the teams were getting ready in the tunnels to come out onto the field. So you get that occasionally in the NFL, but it's not part of the NFL experience the way that it is college. And I don't want to see the series end. I know there are a lot of people out there that do, and they're trying to use this as the cudgel to make that happen. The series isn't going away. There's too much money involved for everybody. Iowa and Iowa State, and you can make the argument that one school needs the series more than the other. Uh-uh. There's money to be shared here. Iowa Corn sponsors the football game itself. I believe the series is sponsored by Hy-Vee. I could be wrong on that, but there's too much money at stake here. And so, again, saber rattling yesterday by Bruce Harreld. He can say whatever he wants to because he knows he's not going to follow through on it. It's going to take a whole lot more than what happened a couple weeks ago in Ames to end this series. Why? Because of the money. Any athletic department, follow the money. That's all you need to know about this. And so Harreld says what he says yesterday, and I just sort of roll my eyes, and it's a big story, and I think we treated it properly. But at the end of the day, you're just out there saying things that need to be said because you're trying to clean up the PR disaster, and you're also trying to twist the knife a little bit with Iowa State. And then you have Iowa State responding today with its news conference, and then Gary Barta talks at 1:45 after everything is said and done, and somebody just needs to end it. Just end it. Admit that you were wrong, be the better side, and figure out a way to make sure that this doesn't happen moving forward. And I hope that we get to that point. But right now, I'm not so sure that we will, because I think it's just a matter of trying to figure out how to get that one last little poke in. We've all been involved in incidents before, whether it's with friends or family members or people we don't like or coworkers. And how often do you have to get the last word? You can't be the person who walks away because you know that you're letting the other person feel like they won. And it's not always about winning. And so you've got Gary Barta and Jamie Pollard and Iowa and Iowa State and the presidents, Harreld and Winterstein, and it's all trying to get the last word. Nobody's capable of walking away, except maybe some listeners who are probably tired of hearing about all this band talk, but it's not a major league market. We don't have much to talk about here in little old Iowa. 319-366-1600. There's plenty to get to. Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times. Who am I kidding? Going to be joining us coming up in about 3 minutes. Right now, let's bring Kyle into the studio. Our producer, Kyle Mann, three times a day brings you a big board update right here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, KGYM. They're brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can check them out in Iowa City on 420th Street, not too far away from the Sinclair Station, or the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
It's day 10 of Marching Band Gate, and both Iowa State's Jamie Pollard and Iowa's Gary Barta spoke with the media to keep this thing going. For the first time, somebody shared some details of what actually happened, allegedly, as the Iowa State police highlighted five reported events, including beer being dumped on some of the members of the band, another object being thrown and cracking the windshield of the football team's bus, a verbal altercation between Iowa's band director and Iowa State's director of facilities, another verbal altercation between a band member and security personnel, and one member suffering broken ribs after being pushed and falling while carrying a ladder. All this being said, Pollard did say he's committed to maintaining the Cy-Hawk series. Barta spoke later in the day and didn't offer nearly as much information, but did say, quote, "We didn't really conduct an investigation, quote, I still don't know exactly what happened," and that he has not met with the alleged victims. In regards to Bruce Harreld's suggestion that the series could be discontinued, Barta says he meant what he said. There is at least a little bit of football news from that availability this afternoon in Iowa City, that being that Kyler Schott is set to miss a couple weeks with a foot injury, likely to be replaced by Cole Banwart, as he's now healthy, although he's about the only one. Kirk Ferentz said none of the guys who have missed time with injuries are expected back this week, including Alaric Jackson, Matt Hankins, and Kevon Merriweather. For the Cyclones, Colin Newell's back to practice, as is Kenny Anwangwu, although Matt Campbell says they're questionable at best for this weekend. But there's huge basketball news out of Ames as well, just coming across during our show. Penn State transfer Razier Bolton averaged 11 points per game as a freshman and shot 36% from three, and he's been granted immediate eligibility, so he fills out a potentially lethal backcourt with Tyrese Haliburton and Prentice Nixon. Tonight after the show, we're going to join the Twins and Tigers in progress on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
Spencer Turnbull, pitching for Detroit tonight, has a batting average against of .307 when it comes to left-handers. And I believe I saw our pal Phil Miller, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, reporting that the Twins had seven lefties in the lineup tonight at Comerica Park, Minnesota. Just in case you're wondering, a heavy favorite at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. Just for information purposes there on that, hitting .307 against Spencer Turnbull, left-handers are Twins. There you go. Football, actual football, Iowa, Middle Tennessee, 11 o'clock Saturday. It means a pregame on our FM frequencies, 107.5 and 106.3 at 9 a.m. with Before the Boom. The KGYM staff will take you inside the matchup between the Hawkeyes and the Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee, no longer Middle Tennessee State. Out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, coached by Rick Stockstill, Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times joins us next to give us some insight into what to expect this weekend. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
Why buy from Toyota of Iowa City?
I was very comfortable with the straightforward way they presented the numbers.
I'm impressed how long the staff has been there. They truly are my advocates.
Toyota of Iowa City. We make it easy.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
That was an awesome game.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
You okay, Coach?
Me? Yeah, sure.
Hey, you remember how I didn't play last year?
Yeah, we missed you.
Well, I didn't care about the game then. Didn't care about anything, really. Couldn't sleep, didn't eat much.
I know what that's like.
But this year's better. IowaCrisisChat.org made a big difference. Good listeners, you know?
That's really great.
Yeah, IowaCrisisChat.org. They can help anybody. Even coaches.
Thanks, kid.
This message from Community Crisis Services and Food Bank.
Lawn legends, run with us on a John Deere X300 Select Series lawn tractor. Head to your nearest John Deere dealer and save big at the Gear Up for Fall sales event. Get $300 off X300 Select Series lawn tractors built for year-round versatility. The Gear Up for Fall sales event won't last forever, so hurry to your John Deere dealer today to find out why nothing runs like a deer. Offer ends November 1st, 2019. Some restrictions apply. See JohnDeere.com or participating dealers for details. Find your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or visit CityTractor.com.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Why buy from Toyota of Iowa City?
I like their reputation for taking care of customers before and after the sale.
Toyota of Iowa City always gives me a great deal.
Toyota of Iowa City. We make it easy.
5:36, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. Coming up tonight at 6:25, your opportunity to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub. We'll be back there next Thursday for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Should be a big program next Thursday at Mulligan's, as we'll be looking forward to the resumption of Big Ten play. Iowa will be traveling to Michigan next week. This week, it's an 11:05 kickoff on ESPN2 against Middle Tennessee. The Blue Raiders, 1-2 on the season. They lost to Michigan in Ann Arbor, 40-21 to begin the season. Beat Tennessee State and then lost last week 41-18 to Duke. Hawkeye is a 24.5-point favorite in that game. And with us to discuss some actual football matters, Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times. You can read his work at hawkmania.com, qctimes.com. And Steve, are you excited to talk actual football today after much of the state has spent the last week and a half talking about sousaphones and properly entering and exiting a stadium?
Kind of nice for a change, isn't it? Yeah. The attention back to the football field, which, or hopefully it will remain here for the next, next 9-10 weeks.
From a football standpoint, I think the takeaway today was Iowa didn't get as healthy as it was hoping to during the bye week. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think so. You know, a lot of talk about, maybe this being a chance for some guys like Alaric Jackson to get back on the field, but things obviously from Ferentz's perspective haven't happened maybe as quickly as anticipated. Knee sprains and high ankle sprains and all of those kinds of things can be a little tricky at times. And I think he feels like they're making some strides in the right direction, but just not fast enough. And it sounds like everybody who was out for the Iowa State game will remain so. And you can throw Kyler Schott onto that list as well. So, it's a tough time to be a lineman or a defensive back if you're a Hawkeye football player, because those seem to be the targeted areas for injuries at this point.
Yeah, the offensive line is something that's interesting, because we talked about how much depth there was at a lot of the positions, especially the guard positions, and Colt Banwart now healthy. But how much is that depth sort of getting tested at this point?
Well, it certainly is. And I think that, one of the things Kirk alluded to today was, the end game here is that when everybody's healthy again, you have a stronger product to put out on the field. But, you take a look at Kyler Schott, who stepped in a couple of weeks ago and performed admirably. It has been beneficial. It's been very helpful to have a pair of fifth-year Paulsons around to throw out onto the field and do some good things offensively up front. And, for a guy like Mark Kallenberger, a local kid from here in Bettendorf that's kind of working his way up the depth chart, some of the snaps that he's getting right now, those are going to benefit him down the road as well. And it's the type of thing that I think I think Iowa wanted to kind of see develop over the course of this season, probably not as quickly as it's had to develop. It's a group that's they're hanging in there. And I think they're hanging in there together with a lot of bodies. And I think that probably is the plan right now, is to continue to throw whatever healthy bodies they have towards that line and also on the back end of the defense.
Steve Batterson with us from the Quad City Times, listening to the Tom Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM. Alaric Jackson, are we going to see him healthy next week in Ann Arbor, in your opinion?
I think he'll be on the field next week in Ann Arbor. How healthy he will be at that point remains to be seen. It was kind of suggested today that he is making some strides. And, at some point, Kirk, I thought, touched on this too. A guy has to be healthy enough to go and contribute and be effective. And as guys kind of rehab, you kind of reach these levels where things are, moving along at a certain point. But you've got to kind of take that next step and be the player that you are. And they want him out there being an Alaric Jackson who can impact a football game, not just throwing a body out there. And he's a guy that, Iowa certainly is a much better offensive line when he's on the field. He's certainly one of the top players in the Big Ten from a offensive tackle standpoint when he's healthy, but they need him to be at that level, you know, especially going into Ann Arbor, which is not an easy place to play despite the, you know, despite the shortcomings of the defensive line that Michigan put on the field last week in Madison.
I think maybe the more concerning aspect to this team would be the secondary, just based on the injuries that persisted earlier in the season, the inexperience, and then sort of what Iowa State was able to do against that secondary. Is there a hope that some of those guys may be healthy for Michigan?
Well, you know, we heard last week from Phil Parker that he thought that Merriweather was close to coming back, but obviously Kirk kind of shot that down today. You know, I think to have him back in the mix, I think, would be very beneficial. You know, how close are some of those other guys? You know, you think of a Brent, you know, it may still be a little time yet. But I do think that, you know, it's, you know, Matt Hankins certainly would be a benefit to have back. And I don't think he's going to roll out for next week, but if they can get those guys back, it certainly provides Iowa with some additional experience and certainly some fresh legs to throw at teams that are going to like to put the ball in the air a little bit.
I read those scores from Middle Tennessee's two losses, 40-21 at Michigan, 41-18 at home against Duke. What type of football game are you expecting on Saturday morning?
Yeah, well, I guess we might as well figure it'll be 40.5 to 19.5, right, or something like that.
I like your logic.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be what kind of happens when they step on the field against a Power 5 team. You know, this is a team that's going to move the ball a little bit. They've got kind of an interesting guy at quarterback. He's a first-year kid, redshirted down there last year after playing at the College of DuPage the previous season. He's a Rolling Meadows, Illinois kid. Asher O'Hara is a guy that has led them in rushing in a couple of games this season, including against Michigan and Duke. And he's been, you know, very capable of putting the ball in the air. They've got a receiver, a kid by the name of Ty Lee, that's caught a pass in 43 straight games, who has been very consistent. So, you know, they're a team that's moving the ball. They put 500 yards on the board against Mizzou a couple of years ago, and they're breaking in a new quarterback this year, but they're known for their offense, and it's going to be kind of a wide-open type thing. They'll do a lot of what Iowa likes to do. They'll try to establish the run first and create some play action off of that and go from there, but this is a team that has tested itself on a fairly regular basis against Power 5 teams, so, you know, they're not going to be intimidated coming into Kennington. You know, I think they certainly have the skill and the quickness to put some points on the board. So this may be a week where I was going to have to try to outscore somebody a little bit.
In the backfield, has Tyler Goodson shown that he's too good and too talented not to put in the mix and put in key situations?
I think he's in the mix. Yeah, I think he's one of those guys that they trust. You know, with what we've seen of him and when we've seen him as much as anything, you know, to put him out there as early as he had played in that Iowa State game, you know, that speaks volumes to the level of trust that he's created within the coaching staff up to this point. And, you know, he certainly hasn't done anything to discourage that. And, you know, I think all four of those guys, they're going to try to find a way to keep them involved. And, you know, I think what we may see, you know, develop here over time is just kind of the hot hand type philosophy that, you know, whoever seems to have it going on a particular day is probably going to end up with the most carries and the biggest yardage total. But this, yeah, the kid certainly has some potential and a lot to like about the freshman, which is good because those other three guys are all juniors. They'll still be around for another year, but at some point somebody else is going to have to carry the load.
Do you like what you've seen from Nate Stanley so far this season?
You know what, Nate, I think has you know, been solid. I mean, he's not making mistakes. You know, he doesn't have any picks yet. He's continuing to you know, spread the ball around fairly well. You know, he's made some mistakes, but I do think that I think he's having the kind of you know, senior season you would hope to, at least through three games. And the steady leadership, I think, is probably the one thing that gets overlooked a bit. He's the guy that's in control out there. And had a chance to talk a little bit yesterday with Chuck Long. And, you know, one of the things that he really likes about the kid is just the moxie he sees in the way the kid competes. And I agree with that. I think that he's done a good job of leading this football team and making its offense a fairly efficient and productive thing. And moving forward, you know, this is a team that, you know, you can't count on winning 18-17 every week. You're going to have to find a way to put around 30 on the board. And he's certainly proven capable of doing that.
Have Michael Sleep Dalton and Keith Duncan been the most underrated revelations for this team through three games?
They've been the most needed revelations, I think. You know, certainly Sleep Dalton has taken Iowa's punting game to another level, and I think that's certainly, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, it was troublesome a year ago. There were times when situations where things weren't going well, it's not just the average that he's putting on the board. It's you know, Iowa's improved almost 10 yards in per net punt. And that type of yardage, I mean, that's flipping field position, and that's 10 more yards that an offense is going to have to move the ball to score on the Hawkeyes. And with the defense that Iowa has, that's a good thing. And I think he's proven in the last two games when he's had some opportunities that he's very capable of creating some issues for opponents. And that's very beneficial. And Keith Duncan, you know, we saw some glimpses of the freshman of what he certainly was capable of. And to come back after sitting out for a couple of years and deliver what he's delivered so far, that's been very beneficial, especially, not really knowing what you were going to get after two pretty good years from Miguel Racinos.
The Big Ten almost always looks different in late November than it does in late September, but at this point, is it sort of appearing that it's a two-team race in the Big Ten West between Iowa and Wisconsin?
From the small sample size that we've had so far, yeah. I think that those are the two teams that certainly have probably had the most impressive performances to date. There'll be some potential potholes along the way for everybody, but you know, that's Big Ten football. I mean, you're going to show up some Saturday and maybe a Purdue is going to play at a level that it hasn't played at before, and you're going to have to deal with that. But certainly Wisconsin and the start that they've gotten off to has been very impressive. Iowa certainly is going to, have to find a way to compete in Madison, which is something they were, incapable of doing a couple of years ago. If they have their hopes on getting to Indy, that road runs through Camp Randall and a few other places where Iowa's had some issues over time.
With Wisconsin, I know maybe we get to tune in every once in a while, but with what they did to Michigan, does it sort of look like they are the team that they expected to be last year when a lot of people were wondering if they could contend with the teams in the East like Ohio State?
Yeah, certainly. I think that, you look at the way that the Wisconsin offensive line performed against Michigan, and very impressive. And it just continued, what they had started with that road trip to open the year at South Florida. You've got a terrific back in Jonathan Taylor, and you've got a quarterback who appears to have the ability to kind of, be a good game manager, which is really what Wisconsin likes. And the return of Cephas at the receiver position, that adds a little something to it, too. And, his being back on the field may certainly help, open some things up for Taylor that he wasn't maybe able to put together on his own, although he's certainly quite capable of that as well.
I'm sure being in the Quad Cities, you also were paying attention last weekend to the Illinois-Nebraska game. What's going on with Scott Frost and the Huskers at this point, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think Nebraska is probably an improved football team over a year ago, and I think we saw that late last season. They were making some strides. Now, are they ready to challenge for the title in the West? I'm not there yet with them at that point. Illinois probably should have won that football game if they would have been able to come up with a stop. And And that tells you that, you know, Nebraska has some work to do. And we saw that on the road when they were at Colorado earlier as well, that, you know, finishing things off is kind of the next step. They were certainly able to do that the other night. But, you know, the schedule has, you know, some potential issues as well, starting at home with Ohio State this week. And, you know, if they can compete against Ohio State, then maybe they're going to make a few more believers out there. But it certainly has been, you know, a team that I think has a terrific quarterback in Adrian Martinez. They appear to be a little bit improved on the defensive front, which certainly was a shortcoming a year ago. And, you know, the progress that they make between now and when they get to those games against Iowa and the like in November will be big.
Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times, appreciate your time as always, and we will see you Saturday morning at Kinnick Stadium.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
And you can give Steve a follow on Twitter at SBAT79. Read his work at QCTimes.com or HawkMania.com. This is not a world-beating Middle Tennessee team coming to Kinnick Stadium by any sense of the imagination. Again, they've given up 40 points to Michigan and Duke in their first two games. Tennessee State, their only win, they scored 45 and only surrendered 26, but Iowa's a little bit closer to Michigan and Duke than it is at this point to Tennessee State, although, as Kirk Ferentz, you listen to Kirk Ferentz, we'll hear Words with Ferentz coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. Rick Stockstill, veteran coach, they've been around together quite a while, 14 seasons in Murfreesboro. As Steve mentioned, they are using a new quarterback this year, but they're not intimidated. They play these games all the time, and they're going to show up, and they're going to do some things that I think play into Iowa's hands, but they're also going to do some things that the Hawkeyes know they need to be ready for, otherwise they will get caught flat-footed, even though there's probably a pretty big talent gap, a disparity between the
there
two
is.
Programs.
There is.
You can still be caught flat-footed by a team that doesn't have as much talent as you, and Kirk Ferentz knows that pretty well after 21 years at Iowa.
I think talent and size, that's the biggest difference. But Rick Stockstill is the answer to a trivia question. He's one of only two Group of Five coaches to be tenured more than a decade at his school. The other one, Nebraska fans, former Nebraska coach Frank Solich at Ohio.
It is hard to believe that it's been that long since Frank Solich got booted in Lincoln and found solace in Athens, Ohio. Never moved on to anything bigger and better, and has been relatively successful for the most part
there. Yes.
Comfortable out of the spotlight. And Nebraska has not been the same since. They went looking for greener pastures and still looking. And that team almost lost on the road in Champaign last week against Illinois. Think about that. Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com, set to join us coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. 6:25 tonight, your chance to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. All that and Words with Ferentz coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM after this.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final Boy Wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Get ready, West Branch. The Whirlpool Careers tailgate tour is coming Friday to get you pumped up for the game. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there too.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game when you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
When you're juggling multiple things just to get the job done, sometimes equipment on your work site sits idle or will be used for
something else, like your skid steer being used as a bird bath or your excavator becoming a back scratcher. But idle equipment costs you and your worksite time and money, which is why United Rentals is combining equipment, data, safety, and expertise to help your worksite perform better. To learn more, visit unitedrentals.com.
I've been around a long time, seeing a lot of gadgets show up that are supposed to make my job easier. Digital screwdrivers, hammer 2.0, the new improved nail, now with more pointiness. You know what really makes my job easier? Grainger. Easy reordering, easy inventory solutions, and easy to do business with every time. Gadgets come and go. You want reliability. You want Grainger. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Your next haircut now has a shortcut. Introducing the Sport Clips Haircuts app. That's right. Now the cut you want is just a tap away. Just download the app, check in at your neighborhood Sport Clips, and choose your guy smart stylist, and you're done. We'll text you when your stylist is almost ready. Then head to Sport Clips for a championship haircut experience. It's home field advantage for your hair. No appointment needed. Just download the Sport Clips app and check in. And don't forget a beard trim. Sport Clips. You choose the cut. We cut the weight.
Do you think all premium fuels are the same? Well, your engine doesn't. New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus helps keep your engine running like new because it's engineered to defend against four main engine threats: gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. So next time, choose Shell's most advanced fuel ever. It's fuel for thought. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline.
Welcome back in, 5:58, as we put the finishing touches on hour number 2 of 3 here. Make sure you join us tomorrow for a Wednesday edition of the show. Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, set to be with us at 4:30, as well as Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. He'll answer all your fantasy football questions at 6:15. Chris Liss of rotowire.com will be on the Gym Class. Fantasy football coverage brought to you all year long by Imon Communications. It is still baseball season. The Pittsburgh Pirates turning to Cedar Rapids Xavier alum Mitch Keller tonight in the series opener against the Chicago Cubs at PNC Park. First pitch is right around the corner with Kyle Hendricks set to go for Chicago. Cubs' magic number, not so magic number, is 3. Any combination of Cubs losses or victories by the Milwaukee Brewers will end the Cubs' season. A lot of interest in Eastern Iowa on that game tonight between Mitch Keller's many fans, friends, family, and a lot of Cub fans who are probably also maybe Mitch Keller fans given where we live, but hoping that maybe you can split the middle here. Doesn't really work that way, but I'm looking forward to watching his outing tonight when I get home. It'll be underway here, as I said, just in the next couple minutes. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com continues the baseball talk after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Christine Leacy. Right now, all the spending the Phillies did in the offseason, $403 million, will not result in a playoff appearance this fall. Outfielder Bryce Harper and the Phils eliminated from postseason contention with a 4-1 loss to Harper's former team, the Nationals, in the opener of today's doubleheader. Manager Gabe Kapler could pay for Philadelphia's failures with his job, says ESPN's Jessica Mendoza.
And not that this is all his fault by any means, but he's been on the hot seat for a long time, and the expectations are an all-time high in Philadelphia. I mean, this is a team that rebuilt. There was patience and, okay, we're going to get more prospects. We're going to go big money, get the Bryce Harpers of the world, the JT Realmutos. And what's happened, not only did they not make the postseason, Sage, they're going to finish fourth in their division.
Washington can clinch an NL wildcard spot with a win tonight, plus a loss by the Cubs. Indians third baseman Jose Ramirez returns from an injured hand tonight against the White Sox. Coverage in 1 hour on ESPN-TV. Cleveland trails Tampa Bay by a half game for the second AL wildcard spot. NBA Nets point guard Kyrie Irving taken to the hospital today to be evaluated after taking an inadvertent elbow to the face in a pickup game at the team's practice facility. GM Sean Marks said they're just being cautious with Irving. Marks also told reporters the team is not planning on Kevin Durant this season. He's expected to miss the entire season recovering from a ruptured Achilles. NFL Eagles receiver Alshon Jeffrey, tight end Dallas Goedert, expected to both be available against Green Bay Thursday night. Receiver DeSean Jackson won't likely play.
Hey, it's your guys. Join us Wednesday. The baseball season is just 5 days away. We've waited around forever. It's finally here. We'll talk about it with Tim Kirchen. That's Wednesday in the Dan Le Batard Show with me, Stigatz, on ESPN Radio.
With the realization of the Twins reaching the postseason playoffs just around the corner, I have a couple of playoff memories to share with you. Hi, everybody. John Gordon with another edition of Tuesdays with Gordo. It appears it's just a matter of time before the Twins cinch a playoff berth. During my 25 years with the Twins, it was always a thrill when the Twins reached postseason play. And, of course, the World Series memories of 87 and 91 are still very fresh in my mind. Following the World Series appearances, the Twins earned a postseason play again in 2002, and the Twins were just a step away from reaching World Series play again before they ran into a buzzsaw and lost 4-1 to the Los Angeles Angels. The Twins won a close-knit series versus the Oakland Athletics in 02 and clinched an AL division title, winning the deciding and fifth game at Oakland. I can still see Denny Hockey catching the final out near the Twins bullpen in the vast foul ball territory in the Oakland Coliseum. Then the Twins made that incredible run from 2003 to 2010, winning 5 Central Division titles only to lose the opening series of postseason play to the New York Yankees in each of those series. When it was all said and done, the Twins and Yankees played 17 playoff games, and during that span, the Yankees won 15 and the Twins could win but 2. Playoff baseball is what everyone yearns for. What a pleasure it was to sit next to Herb Carneal and then to work with the Dazzle Man, Dan Gladden. Minnesota Twins baseball is on the air, and it's playoff baseball from Target Field. What fun. John Gordon with another edition of Tuesdays with Gordo.
Tired of wearing the same 5 shirts every week? We can help. Stitch Fix is a personal styling service that matches you with your own stylist. Someone who listens to what works for you and delivers clothes right to your door. So you take the hassle out of shopping and find new styles that leave you feeling great. It starts with a simple profile you create in just minutes. Explore different styles and leave notes for your stylist about what you like. For a small $20 styling fee, your clothes are hand-selected for you based on your profile and then delivered to you so you can try them on in the comfort of your own home. Pay only for what you keep and send everything else back. Plus, the styling fee is applied to what you keep and shipping, returns, and exchanges are always free. With Stitch Fix, you'll get access to great looks ranging from refined to rugged, and everything is hand-selected to fit your physique and your budget. Discover the stylist and styles that work for you at stitchfix.com. Personal styling for men, women, and kids. stitchfix.com. Personal styling for everybody.
6:04, we welcome you back in. Third and final hour of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, 6:25 tonight. Your chance to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We'll have another chance for you to win a gift card tomorrow during the face-off slash showdown, depending on when we get it worked in to the program. Tristan Cockcroft, Gary Rima, all joining us for our regular Wednesday festivities. A semi-regular guest on the program during baseball season on Tuesdays, Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com, who is with us now, and Ed is gearing up for a likely postseason appearance for his Milwaukee Brewers. It comes on the heels of the Chicago Cubs being swept in a 4-game series over the weekend by the Cardinals. And Ed, were you expecting that this weekend at Wrigley Field between the Cubs and the Cardinals?
I don't know how anybody could have anticipated something that hadn't happened. in 98 years. I mean, it was the first four-game sweep the Cardinals did to the Cubs at Wrigley since 1921. That aside, the fact that the Cardinals had never won a game at Wrigley Field this year, they were 0-6 going to the series last weekend. The fact that they swept it, what I think just blew everybody's breath away. Now, granted, they had help. Craig Kimbrell was a fireman. He was an arsonist. He gave up the game-winning home run Thursday night on national TV. Then on back-to-back pitches on Saturday, blew the lead. And I'm convinced that if Kimbrell had been able to lock down that save on Saturday, Madden would have trusted him to lock up the game Sunday rather than trying to have Darvish throw a complete game. So I think it's a little simplistic to blame that series entirely on Kimbrell, but he had a huge hand in helping the Cardinals sweep that four-game set from the Cubs.
When you look at the Cubs, how much, I guess, sort of questioning does the fan base sort of do about their team moving forward into the offseason?
They have questions, without a doubt. I think the biggest one is going to be, who will their manager be next year? I think the six-game losing streak, all coming at Wrigley Field, pretty much sealed the fate of Joe Madden. I don't think he's coming back in 2020. So the first question is going to be, who's going to be the manager? Once you get that settled down, what other reshaping and retooling will Epstein and Hoyer do to the franchise? They have some holes. Second base is a key question. The outfield, especially center field, they need a leadoff hitter. Do you start Nico Hoerner on the major league roster on opening day in 2020? If so, is he your second baseman? Is he your shortstop? Do you tender Addison Russell a contract? So I think there are a lot of questions that need to be answered by the Cubs. Now, the good thing is they have a solid base with Baez, who will be healthy again to start the year, Rizzo and Bryant. That's a pretty solid core. Their pitching is also going to be a question. Their bullpen is a mess. Kimbrell hasn't helped. I think what clouds his performance in 2020 is going to be, all right, he missed spring training, got the late start, and was hurt for most of 2019. But is that just piggybacking on the red flags that we saw in the postseason last year with Boston, or are these things, they're just unique to 2019? So you're really not sure what you're getting for Craig Kimbrell over the next 2 years. The rotation is also up for grabs. Lester petered out in the second half. Cole Hamels is a free agent at the end of the year, and he's been hurt. Hendricks was underperforming. Quintana, outside of facing the Brewers, underperformed. Yu Darvish started to get into his mojo in the second half. But you still have questions, and there's really nobody on the farm system that you can say, yes, we can pencil them into the rotation, or yes, we can pencil them as a key cog in the bullpen. And the overall thing, again, we've talked about all those issues, but the other one that's going to really hamstring Epstein and Hoyer is that the Cubs are in debt. The Ricketts family has said there is no money. They were only able to afford Kimbrell because of the suspension placing Zobrist on the restricted list. At the beginning of the year 2019, the Cubs had $425 million in debt. That's the Ricketts family. They've been paying somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 million in servicing payments on that. Because of the very stringent debt ratio to payroll ratio that they have in Major League Baseball, that shaved about 15 to $20 million off what the Cubs could have invested in payroll because of the debt load they're carrying. So even though they have the new network starting in 2020, they're in a big market team, they are strapped for cash, especially when you have the commitments you're going to have. Bryant is going to have a close to a record-setting arbitration award. He made $12.9 million this year. He's going to have a big increase next year. You're going to have to pay Baez, and you're going to have to pay Rizzo. Now, there are some contracts coming off the books, but still about half of the $50 million is coming off the books with Hamels, with Morrow, with Zobrist leaving, are going to be invested into Bryant's arbitration award and the next 2 years for Kimbrell. So they have a base. They're still a solid team, but there are going to be a lot of questions going into this offseason for the Cubs. And like I said, I think that it's going to start with, who will their field boss be?
Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com. We'll get back to who replaces Joe Maddon in just a little bit. But you mentioned that core of Rizzo, Bryant, and Baez. Theo Epstein has said all season long, even dating back to spring training, that if things don't work out this season, they would not be averse to making some major shakeups. Could you see him touching one of those core pieces this offseason, maybe looking at a possible trade?
They would bring back, I think, a fairly decent return because they're still in their prime. But the question is going to be, if you trade any of those three Musketeers, who do you replace them with? There is really, I mean, Ian Happ, David Bote, there really isn't anybody in the farm system that you can say, yeah, if we decide to retool and replenish by trading Rizzo or Bryant or Baez to free up some salary or whatever, there really isn't anybody available to come in on the minors to take their place. And even if you're going to replenish it on the free agent market, you're going to spend more money on a free agent to replace any of those three than you would if you just kept them. So, I mean, maybe they'll be blown away with an offer, but I don't think the long-term return on trading either Baez, Bryant, or Rizzo is going to help the Cubs any substantially.
Now, I know we just kind of discussed the front office not having much money to spend. Do they have any chance in re-signing Nick Castellanos?
It depends on what Castellanos is going to look for. He has an agent in Scott Boras who's going to look out for top dollar. Boras was on a podcast, I think it was yesterday, in which he claimed that Castellanos is one of the 10 to 12 best defensive right fielders in baseball. If that's going to be his negotiating pattern, and saying that we've seen Castellanos' offensive profile since the trade, and that if he has protection in the lineup, this is what he can produce. To find a lineup that will accept his defense and have protection from this lineup so he can blossom like this, there aren't many teams out there like that. And whether or not he can break the bank, I just didn't really. I mean, granted, he won't have a qualifying offer, but he's a corner outfielder who's not very good defensively. He can hit, but according to even his own agent admitted that he has to have protection in the lineup. If you're going to count on him being a cleanup hitter and carrying your lineup, we saw what happened in Detroit. So he has to have protection where people have to pitch to him. If they can pitch around him, you're going to see what he had in Detroit the first half of the season. So I don't think there's going to be a rabid market for Castellanos. So maybe they can get him on an acceptable deal, 3 years, somewhere in the 50s, maybe. I don't know. If they do Castellanos, I think they're going to have to do some other shuffling. Again, they have roughly $50 million coming off the books with Hamill, Zobrist, Morrow, et cetera. But who, you know, I think part of it's going to be what kind of raise is Bryant going to get in arbitration? He's making $12.9 million. Could he top out over $20 million? That takes a big chunk. Kimbrel is going to be making eight figures next year. That's going to take a chunk out of that $50 million. So maybe they have some left for Castellanos, but if you allocate all that towards Castellanos, there isn't much left to fill the other holes. So unless he's willing to give the Cubs a discount, which Boras clients usually aren't prone to do, I find it tough for the Cubs to work out a deal with Castellanos unless there's a lot of deferred money involved. Maybe they can come up something creative that way.
John Mozeliak was excoriated at the trade deadline for basically sitting on his hands and not doing anything. He appears to have the last laugh here as the Cardinals have won the NL Central. Other than Paul Goldschmidt coming around, how did they pull this off, Ed?
Pitching. I think they got healthy. Ozuna was healthy again. Colton Wong, until he hurt his hamstring, was having an outstanding season. But again, let's go back to the pitching. Flaherty has been an outstanding ace during the stretch in the second half. Dakota Hudson is also stabilized. And let's not forget the old man of the rotation. I think everybody, myself included, was kind of riding Adam Wainwright off. But this last month or two, he's outside of his performance last night in Arizona, where he gave up five over five, he has just been in his prime these last month, 6 weeks. So I think the key thing is if you don't have a potent offense, you have to have a great pitching and you're going to have a very solid bullpen. The bullpen for the Cardinals has been a little bit shaky, but it's better than a lot of others when you have Brebbia, Gant, Martinez, Miller has pitched well. So they have a fairly solid core in the bullpen, and the pitcher, the young guns, Flaherty, Hudson has stabilized, and Wainwright has just been his Cy Young self this, again, last month or two. So I think the combination of good pitching, good defense, just enough offense, and maybe a lot of baseball luck from the gods smiling on them has been what the recipe's been for the Cardinals the second half since the All-Star break.
What do you see when you see Jack Flaherty at the top of his game?
Adam Wainwright, very similar type pitchers. And if he can continue to progress, take that next step next year, you've got somebody who is very solid. And again, when I see Flaherty at his best, I see Adam Wainwright.
The Brewers and the Nationals look like they're on a collision course for the National League wild card game. It's safe to say if the Nationals can work it out, they would have Max Scherzer or Steven Strasburg pitch that game. Who are you turning to if you're Craig Counsell?
It really doesn't make a difference the way Craig Counsell works his bullpen. He'll have somebody most likely pitch one, maybe a turn and a half through the lineup, and then go heavy with the bullpen for matchups. Davey Martinez has already said he'll throw everybody in that wild card game to win it. And that includes pitching Scherzer, Corbin, and Strasburg all in the same game if need be, plus Sanchez. For the Brewers, again, during this stretch of where they've been outstanding in September, they have the best record in baseball in September. They've had their starting pitcher pitch six innings twice. He has been quick with the hook because the bullpen's been outstanding. And so I do not expect that approach to change. So whoever's turn it is to be the initial out getter for the Brewers will go through the lineup once, maybe twice, and then he'll turn it over to the bullpen. So whether it's Jordan Lyles, whether it's Brandon Woodruff or whomever, it won't make much difference because they're not going to be in there facing that Nationals lineup more than once or twice.
The Brewers or the Cardinals, which team you think is better built to possibly be dangerous and make a run in the playoffs?
I think the Brewers bullpen is better right now than the Cardinals. But the thing that's, even though I just got finished mentioning the Brewers have the best record in baseball in September, their batting average is among the worst in baseball in that same span. They just haven't been able to produce. They produce just enough, but they've been able to get that one or two run lead and then turn it over to the bullpen and go. It should be interesting. I mean, let's take a look at the last series that these teams played in St. Louis. St. Louis blew them out in the first game 10-0, and then the Brewers came back and won the next two. I think it's going to be, if they do end up playing in the playoffs, I think it's going to be an outstanding series, the one that's probably going to go seven and going to be a lot of one-run, two-run games because I think they're both very similar. They just get enough offense, I think the Cardinals starting pitching is better than the Brewers, but I think the Brewers bullpen is better than the Cardinals. So I think they kind of cancel each other out, and it's going to come down to which team I think gets that key hit. The Brewers throughout the year has had tremendous issues with runners in scoring position. They just can't seem to get that big hit. They've been doing it in September, and if they can keep that up, I think that would be a remarkable series between the Brewers and the Cardinals.
Couple more minutes with Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com. Let's turn our attention to the American League, the team that you can hear right here on 107.5 FM, the Minnesota Twins, in the driver's seat in the American League Central. Is this the year that the Twins can really make a deep push, maybe past a team like the Yankees in the postseason?
Wow. I don't like the Yankees rotation at all, but when you take a look at a team that's won over 100 games, and it wouldn't surprise me if the Yankees rack up over 105 wins the way they're going, I just find it difficult with the injuries that the Twins have suffered to be able to outlast the Yankees in a five-game series. I'm not impressed with the Yankees' starting rotation, but I think their bullpen is very good, and those guys can hit. So I just think with that offense that the Yankees have, even though they have questionable starting pitching, I think they will outlast Minnesota in a series. It probably won't be a sweep. I don't think so. And it could even go the full five, but it probably, if I was making a prediction right now between the Yankees and Twins, it'd probably go Yankees in four if they meet in the division series.
While we're on the topic of these two teams, how would you sort of handicap the AL Manager of the Year race at this point?
I call this the Sparky Anderson or Phil Jackson syndrome, that when you have a winning manager, the ability, the expertise of the manager kind of gets lost for the players that they have. And I think that's probably going to happen to AJ Hinch. To what he's done in Houston, I think is deserving of the AL Manager of the Year. But when you take a look at what Aaron Boone has been able to overcome with the Yankees, with all the injuries that they have had, and for the length of injuries for some key players like Stanton and Judge and et cetera, and with that bad rotation, I think Aaron Boone will probably be your favorite for the Manager of the Year. But I like what Rocco Baldelli's done with the Twins. I think especially with the year that they had last year, they did make some changes, but having that young, fresh approach, those new eyes in the dugout, I like Baldelli. I still think with Boone, with the pressures in the New York media market, the injuries they had, I think he's the leader in the clubhouse for the AL Manager of the Year, but I think Baldelli is a good choice. I think Bob Melvin is underappreciated being in Oakland, partly because they're on the West Coast. They're a small market team. What he and Kurt Young have done with that rotation for the last 2 years with a bunch of retreads and no names has been fantastic. I think Bob Melvin is an excellent candidate for the AL Manager of the Year. And again, I talked up Aaron Boone for what he's been able to overcome with injuries. Same goes for Terry Francona, not having your Cy Young and Kluber for most of the year, trading Trevor Bauer, having Carrasco battle leukemia, the injuries to Ramirez, now Kipnis. The fact that they're still in playoff contention, I think, speaks volumes to the manager that Terry Francona is. So I think you have at least five candidates. Oh, I haven't even mentioned Kevin Cash, for goodness sakes. So you're talking about six guys who I think you could legitimately vote for AL Manager of the Year and not really be criticized for any of the six. So I think it's a wide open race, but because of the media market and because of the injuries and because of the record the Yankees have, I think Boone probably has the small lead in that contest.
Last question before we let you go, Ed, and we'll stick with the managerial subject here. Andy Green's out in San Diego. If I kept Joe Maddon and I gave you the field of all other possible candidates, who do you think would come out on top?
Well, Mad would have been my first choice. Besides that, I don't know how serious Bruce Bochy is. I think that's mainly because of his previous tenure with San Diego and the fact that he lives in the San Diego area. I think it was some reporting that Moises Alou is a front runner for that if he wants the job, it's his. I know Mike Socha's name has been bandied about. I think it's going to come down to what does A.J. Preller want? Does he want that veteran firebrand manager like a Bochy, a Socha, or a Madden? Or does he want to go young again like he did with Andy Green with no experience but might be analytically inclined? That would give credence to Moises Alou. So I think it's going to be an interesting one. If I'm Preller and Madden's available, even though you've already taken him, I'm going to cheat and say Madden's the top choice in San Diego. But I think Madden, if he doesn't rejoin his choice of jobs, I think if Madden's a free agent, if I'm Philadelphia, I fire Gabe Kapler and snap up Madden. So it depends on where Madden wants to go. I think he's going to be the domino that needs to fall. Spots are going to fill in.
And it's going to come down to who wants to pay Joe Maddon, too, as well.
Yes, it will. You're going to have to come up with at least $6 million, probably over 5 years. And Philadelphia likes throwing away stupid money, so it'll be interesting to see.
Ed, we appreciate it as always, and we will touch base with you this time in 2 weeks. We'll be talking postseason baseball. Thanks as always.
All right, look forward to it, guys. Thank you kindly.
MLBTradeRumors.com, a fantastic resource for any baseball fan looking to stay on top of the transactions, the comings and goings, managerial hirings and firings, and yes, postseason roster shuffling.
I will be shocked if Joe Maddon ends up anywhere other than Philadelphia or San Diego.
My money is on San Diego. I think he has family out west. He's worked for the Angels. He has a very West Coast vibe. I know he's from Pennsylvania, but with that roster and the young talent, that's the type of manager that I think A.J. Preller needs.
That's the best fit for him.
It is the best fit for him. Philadelphia, again, close to Hazleton, his hometown in Pennsylvania, get him closer to his roots, drinking those shots and beers. But, man, always sunny, on the beach, young talent, Fernando Tatis, some of the players coming up through the Padres farm system. Padres, who would have thought 5 years ago you'd be looking saying the San Diego Padres are in much better shape over the long haul than the Chicago Cubs would be in 2019 and beyond, but seems to be the case here. Mark Gonzalez, if you missed him yesterday, the Tribune Cubs writer joined us and said that significant financial gymnastics will need to occur in order for the Cubs to keep Nicholas Castellanos wearing that number 6 jersey. A Boris client, he's going to look for that big contract. This is his opportunity to get paid. I don't know. I don't know what this offseason is going to hold for the Cubs. I don't know what this offseason is going to hold for any of the teams in the NL Central. Speaking of the Cubs, they are facing Mitch Keller and the Pirates right now, scoreless through one inning at PNC Park. 6:25 is here. It's actually about a minute and a half past 6:25. So if you've been listening intently all throughout the afternoon, you know that now is the time to call 319-366-1600 to take today's $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub off our hands. We would love to have you join us next Thursday at Mulligan's. The KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com, returning to 1060 Old Marion Road on the northeast side of town. $30 to Mulligan's is yours if you're caller number 6. 319-366-1600. We'll find out who our winner is when we return. Plus, we'll hear some select highlights of Kirk Ferentz's non-band-related news conference in Iowa City earlier today. It's Words with Ferentz, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, and it's on the way next.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor.
So, you're a Cubs fan. Well, hold on to your helmet nachos, because Marquee Sports Network is coming with more Cubs than ever. In fact, more is a bit of an understatement. A huge home runs landing on Waveland-sized understatement. Because Marquee Sports Network will bring you pregame, postgame, game, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, and on top of the scoreboard. A network as dedicated as you. Marquee Sports Network, the exclusive new television home of Cubs baseball. Coming February 2020.
Workhorses run with us on a John Deere Gator and power through any job, anytime. Head to your nearest John Deere dealer today to save big on select utility vehicles like the Gator XUV 835M, now available for $500 off. Or get $300 off the Gator XUV 590E. So what are you waiting for? Hurry into your John Deere dealer today to find out why nothing runs like a deer. Run with us. Offer ends November 1st, 2019. Some restrictions apply. See JohnDeere.com or participating dealers for details. Find your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or visit CityTractor.com.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
That was an awesome game.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
You okay, Coach?
Me? Yeah, sure.
Hey, you remember how I didn't play last year?
Yeah, we missed you.
Well, I didn't care about the game then. Didn't care about anything, really. Couldn't sleep, didn't eat much.
I know what that's like.
But this year's better. IowaCrisisChat.org made a big difference. Good listeners, you know?
That's really great.
Yeah, IowaCrisisChat.org. They can help anybody. Even coaches.
Thanks, kid.
This message from Community Crisis Services and Food Bank.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the Back to School Maintenance Special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
6:32. Welcome back here in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with you on a beautiful Tuesday here in Eastern Iowa. We promised you that we'll get to Words with Ferentz coming up in just a little bit. But first, Kyle Mann is with us in the studio. His third and final Big Board update of the day on the way, courtesy of Alexander Lumber. Here's Kyle.
It is day 10 of Marching Band Gate, and both Iowa State's Jamie Pollard and Iowa's Gary Barta spoke with the media to keep this thing going today. For the first time, somebody shared some details of what actually happened, allegedly, as the Iowa State police highlighted five reported events, including beer being dumped on members of the Iowa band, another object being thrown and cracking the windshield of the football team's bus, a verbal altercation between Iowa's band director and Iowa State's director of facilities, another verbal altercation between an Iowa band member and security personnel, and one member suffering broken ribs after being pushed and falling while carrying a ladder. All this being said, Pollard did say he's committed to maintaining the Cy-Hawk series. Barta spoke later in the day and didn't offer nearly as much information, but did say, quote, "We didn't really conduct an investigation, quote, I still don't know exactly what happened," and that he has not yet met with the alleged victims. In regards to Bruce Harold's suggestion that the series could be discontinued, Barta says he meant what he said. There is at least a little bit of football news from the availability in Iowa City today, that being Kyler Schott is set to miss a couple weeks with a foot injury, likely to be replaced by Colt Banwart as he's now healthy, although he's about the only one. Kirk Ferentz said none of the guys who've missed time with injuries are expected back this week. That includes Alaric Jackson, Matt Hankins, and Kevon Merriweather. For the Cyclones, Colin Newell's back to practice, as is Kenne and Wongwu, although Matt Campbell says they're questionable at best for this weekend against Baylor. But there is huge basketball news out of Ames just coming across during our show. Penn State transfer Razier Bolton averaged 11 points per game as a freshman and shot 36% from three, and he's been granted immediate eligibility, so he fills out a potentially lethal backcourt with Tyrese Halliburton and Prentice Nixon. Tonight after the show, we're going to join the Twins and Tigers in progress on 107.5 FM The North Gym.
Mitch Keller and the Pittsburgh Pirates scoreless with the Chicago Cubs in the bottom of the second inning. Kyle Hendricks on the mound for the Cubs. Again, Chicago's magic number, or not so magic number, depending on how you look at it, the elimination number three. Any combination of wins by the Brewers or losses by the Cubs, and they're on the outside looking in for the first time since 2014. Congratulations to Phil in Cedar Rapids, taking home tonight's gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We'll have another chance for you to win tomorrow inside the 5 o'clock face-off or 6 o'clock showdown, depending on how tomorrow's program shapes up. We owe you some of the highlights from Kirk Ferentz's weekly news conference. We get to them every Tuesday when they are available to us, thanks to the diligent work of our producer, Kyle Mann. It's Words with Ferentz, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Here now, some of the highlights of Kirk Ferentz's. The Hawkeyes get ready to get back into football action after a bye week. They're taking on Middle Tennessee at Kinnick Stadium Saturday at 11.
Any of the guys that have been out coming back this week?
Not this week necessarily. No, not based on what I've seen. So, you know, we're getting closer, but closer to what? You know, who knows? A lot of ambiguity right now. Is that the word I'm looking for? Anyway. Clearly cloudy.
Is that concerning?
It's, we got a lot of guys out, so it's concerning every week. It was extremely concerning last time we played. I mean, it's looked over today, half our two deep in the secondaries, you know, street clothes watching practice. So, you know, but that's football. That's football, and we're not dwelling on that. We're working with the guys on the field, and DJ stepped in, did a good job. And so it's, you know, the good thing about it, it creates opportunity for other players, and that's how we've looked at it. We'll continue to look at it that way, and at some point we'll get guys back. It's just, you know, it's been slow. That's all.
4-3 almost now, because of you got so many guys out that you just can't play a cash unless you.
Yeah, we'll be a lot more limited in our sub packages, I think, just, you know, because we're out of guys. So, and you want your best guys out there playing. But, you know, I'm not going to say it's totally off the table, but we'll probably do a little bit less of it than maybe we would have in the past.
Playing a team like this that's got spread elements and a lot of wide receivers, I mean, what's the kind of challenge, especially from a speed perspective?
Well, the biggest thing is, you know, our guys that are out there are going to have to play with great position and technique, and that's really what it gets down to. It goes back to, you know, back in 2000 against Northwestern. You know, where Norm and I had that discussion, I was pretty sure we'd go sub, and he stayed regular defense, and, you know, he knew what he was doing, because at that point that was our best chance to win. The key thing is making sure the guys that are on there play smart, to think that, you know, an outside linebacker is going to run, you know, play after play after play with a fast receiver. It's probably not good coaching. So, you know, you just got to be smart about how you do it, and, you know, play a defense going to give everybody a chance to be successful.
A couple of the guys said he brought you and I in 09 just to remind them about it doesn't matter who's coming to play, that you got to be ready. Do you, not that you want to have something like that in your arsenal, but do you like being able to harken back to a good team like that maybe took an opponent?
Yeah, if you win, which, I mean, that was a miracle. I don't believe in miracles too often. That was a miracle. That's the only way to put it. Also, that's half the truth. I referenced Arkansas State as well. You know, we had a pretty good football team in 09. It was a three-point game, and they played their tails off. And I think there are probably some parallels in the programs, quite frankly. So I'm not saying we underestimate Arkansas State, you know, 10 years ago. We can ask those guys when they're back here for the reunion. But bottom line is it was a heck of a football game start to finish. We had to fight our tails off to get out of there. So the message is, you know, if you're not doing your best internally, then, you know, you're going to be involved in some games like that. And you can come out on the short end, and we should have, really, against you and I. You could argue that. So, you know, it's just the way sports are. It's the same thing. I mean, in basketball, a couple years later, I'm watching Butler play Duke, I think, in the national championship. The announcer said that Butler just lost to Youngstown State 4 weeks before that. I said, can you imagine that? As to Steve. Steve sitting on the couch. He's in high school. He says, Dad, you guys lost to UNI, and UNI won the Orange Bowl. So without even thinking, right? So it's the same thing. But that's sports. You got to get ready every week. Every game's tough.
They lost their record-setting quarterback from last year, but I think O'Hara's his name. Yep. Seems to be 70% completion percentage, runs the ball well. I mean, what kind of challenges is he?
Yeah, leading passer, leading rusher. You know, he's really doing it all. So it all really starts with him, and he's a little bit of a wildcat, not that they're in the wildcat formation. I'm not starting rumors, but he's a little bit of a wild card, maybe it's a better word to use. You know, he just he'll pull it down and, you know, break contain, those kinds of things. And when, you know, again, you talk about watching football on the weekends, when quarterbacks break contain, bad things tend to happen. So he's got that ability. So it's a big part of us is going to be trying to – big part of our success will be trying to keep him in a position maybe where, you know, we've got him contained a little bit, knowing he's going to get his completions, and they've got good receivers. So, you know, they got a multitude of ways to get the ball on the perimeter. They're going to do that, and they do it well. And, you know, we're going to have to see how well we can hold up out there.
Words with Ferentz, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Didn't want to start any rumors there about the Wildcat or anything that you're going to see on Saturday from Middle Tennessee. This is not a great football team, but it's the final thing standing between the Hawkeyes and the resumption of Big Ten play, and probably a good thing that it's Middle Tennessee this week instead of Michigan next week, because, Alex, what we really took away from the media availability today, the Hawkeyes did not heal up during the bye week the way that they were hoping to.
No, and I wonder how much of that is guys aren't healthy, and I wonder how much of that is, okay, let's give certain guys who may be on the verge of being back another week to rest up. I'm not saying that they're going to take Middle Tennessee, lightly, but he just admitted that they're probably not going to go to sub packages very much on defense. You're going to see a lot of base defense because They don't have right now the secondary members to pull off the cash position. And offensively, I think it'll be a lot of the same. A lot of not necessarily running anything all that extravagant, very vanilla offense this weekend against Middle Tennessee. I think it'll be enough. And for you know they're hoping to get healthy and to get everybody back on the offensive line, especially in the secondary for that game against Michigan.
Certainly not reassuring to hear Kirk Ferentz say that half the secondary is in street clothes, standing on the sidelines watching practice. But again, I think they'll be able to weather the storm this week against Middle Tennessee, and then you turn your attention to Michigan, a team that is absolutely reeling coming off a loss, not just a loss in Madison last weekend, but an embarrassing setback at the hands of the Wisconsin Badgers. I believe they have Rutgers this weekend, so it could be an opportunity for Jim Harbaugh. Oh, heaven help Chris Ash. This is an opportunity for Jim Harbaugh to try to get healthy. I don't know whether they'll be able to put a 78-0 on the board like a couple years ago. That was Michigan or Ohio State?
That was Michigan.
Okay, that's what that
after
was
the week after Ohio State put like 60 on.
Yeah. I don't know whether they'll be able to replicate that or not, but I would hate to be in Rutgers' position this week as a bounce back game for the Wolverines. We mentioned with Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times, who is with us at 5:30 tonight, it sort of seems to be shaping up, at least right now, as a two-horse race in the Big Ten West, and we'll spend more time focusing on the Big Ten next week when pretty much everybody is full-blown conference play at that point. But Purdue has looked okay, but not great. Minnesota has had its share of struggles. And as Steve said, I'm not buying Nebraska being back yet. That's a team that went on the road against Illinois last week and couldn't hang on to the ball. They couldn't take care of the ball. They looked very pedestrian at times, and had they not run 1,000 plays and completely gassed Illinois' defense in the late third and most of the fourth quarter, maybe they don't escape with a victory. So Wisconsin 1A, Iowa 1B right now in the Big Ten West.
I got Wisconsin 1, Iowa 2. I will say it. I think Wisconsin's the clear favorite in the Big Ten West. I just think that offensively, right now, Jack Cohn is not the best quarterback in the world, but it doesn't matter. They have a bunch of receivers that they can go to when they need to, and Jonathan Taylor's running for 200-something yards per game. He's an all-time college football running back great, and their defenses seem to weather the storm and get much better than they were a year ago. They've been lights out so far, and just what they did to Michigan. It wasn't necessarily the score. It was the utter disrespect for Michigan. It was, we're going to run it down your throat, and you're not going to stop us. We're going to beat you at your own game. You think that you have a really good defense, and your defensive lines over the past 3 or 4 years have been so dominant? No. We're going to pummel you, and they did. And I think that they're going to be able to do that to a lot of teams in the Big Ten West, and maybe Iowa is the only defense that can stand up to it.
It's going to be one hot ticket November 9th at Camp Randall Stadium if both of these teams stay on their current course. But that being said, Iowa has a decent slate in between now and then. You travel to Ann Arbor next weekend, and then back-to-back home games against Penn State and Purdue, and a road trip to Evanston against Northwestern. And I know Northwestern didn't look all that great against Michigan State last weekend. They're always a thorn in Iowa's side. Always.
And they always somehow figure it out. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I haven't known how they would do it in the past couple of years, where they looked hapless and all of a sudden things sort of click for them. Now, that game against Michigan State gives me pause, but I have been burned too many times by that team to think that they're just going to fold over and go 3-9 or 4-8.
We will step aside at 6:45 in our final break tonight. When we come back, we'll put the finishing touches on a Tuesday show, once again focusing primarily on the story about the Iowa band and the alleged incidents that occurred a couple weeks ago in Ames. And of course, look ahead to a Wednesday edition of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. Back with more after this.
It is inevitable at this point. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. There are a lot of people still running Windows 7 because they don't want to make that change. I very much empathize and understand, and we all do at Network Computer Solutions. That's where we're here to help, to be honest with you and get you through that process to be able to keep your business run effectively.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4344 120th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. How much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
An interesting creature inhabits the flat, arid plains of many an automobile dashboard. The bobblehead. It's most agreeable and will nod along to anything, despite having no brain function. But when the bobblehead hears how Geico not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, he'll nod even more vigorously because he knows you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Easy, bobblehead, easy. You're going to get whiplash.
If you have frequent heartburn, take control of it with Prilosec OTC instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens, or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. Ah, it's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage of some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven.
6:48, welcome back in. As we promised you, the final segment of a Tuesday edition of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way for you tonight. If you are a 107.5 FM listener, the Minnesota Twins currently in progress at Comerica Park in Detroit. The Tigers with a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the fourth inning. Milwaukee on top of Cincinnati 3-2 right now. That is not music to the ears of Chicago Cubs fans. The elimination number for the Cubs, 3 at the moment. That's any combination of Brewers wins or Cubs losses. Cubs have a couple runners on against Mitch Keller in the bottom, or the top of the third inning, I should say, at PNC Park. The former Cedar Rapids Xavier standout still looking for his second major league win. Remember, this is the second time this year that he's seen the Cubs. He faced them in the Little League Classic in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And the Philadelphia Phillies, who have officially been eliminated from the postseason hunt, they're looking to postpone Washington's party at Nationals Park tonight. The Nationals can clinch a wild card with a victory. They currently trail Philadelphia 3-0 with Max Scherzer on the mound. More baseball being played later tonight as well, but that's kind of what everybody's interested in Eastern Iowa as far as the limited number of postseason races underway. Cardinals will continue their series with the Diamondbacks at 8:40. 319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. And Alex, we look forward to continuing a football-centered discussion on tomorrow's program, barring any sort of flare-up. I think the band story for the most part, at least as far as dominating a large portion of the discussion on sports talk radio and stories being published for the most part, I think after today now in the rearview mirror. But Gary Barta and Jamie Pollard can still reach out to the media and continue to put their foot in their mouth. So never say never.
No more news releases, no more press conferences. I hope you're
please,
right. Please.
No.
We don't want to be talking about this, but
we really don't.
When the three folks involved in this, or three of the four folks involved in this, are coming out and continually flaring this thing up, and the folks that make over $1 million a year to do what they do, who are in very big positions of power, who keep giving us more and more, I would call it information, but all these different, a bunch of dots that don't connect, this is what happens. Mass confusion and a situation where people don't, the people in charge realize that something bad happened and they can't do anything about it. And in 2019, you get a lot of blame flying in both directions, and nothing ever gets solved. So the last thing I will say about it is, let's hope that nothing like this ever happens again, and those in charge need to make sure that nothing like this ever happens again.
The Hawkeyes are not healthy coming out of the bye week. That is the big takeaway from Kirk Ferentz's media availability earlier today. That and more was discussed with Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times. He joined us tonight at 5:30. If you missed our conversation with him or anything from today's show, our podcast will be available shortly at KGYMradio.com. Coming up for you on tomorrow's program, another chance to win a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We will get to that inside the 5 o'clock face-off, or the 4 o'clock face-off, or the 6 o'clock showdown. Really just depends on how things shape up tomorrow. Oh, baby, I love this segment. The play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, the one and only Gary Rima, joins us at 4:30. And we will bring you another edition of Fantasy Football Discussion with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. Get those Wayne Gallman waiver claims in tonight if your waiver wire is still running. Gallman presumably will be the man tasked with replacing Saquon Barkley in the Giants' backfield. Tristan joins us on Wednesdays at 6:15. Courtesy of Imon Communications. Appreciate everybody listening as always. Again, Twins baseball on tap in progress from Comerica Park in Detroit, Michigan on 107.5 FM for you. ESPN programming the rest of the way. Local programming will return tomorrow with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. The Gym Class heads your way each day at 3 o'clock.